and it's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, ineffectual intellectuals, conservatives, progressives of all kinds. Good morning, Mark Riley.
Good morning.
How are you feeling, man?
I'm feeling all right.
I'm freaking out, dude.
Why?
Because I'm just freaking out. I can't deal with it. I don't like waiting for the game to be played. I do not like this countdown to election stuff. I want this to be done. I want Bush to be gone. I'm tired of the belligerent, smug, arrogant, fake Christian blow monkey puppet of the Cheney regime's neocon death cult making me aggravated. I don't like his minions. I don't like his henchmen talking on the TV, making me aggravated, repeating the same talking points. I don't like that Karl Rove is doing with this Al-Qaqa story, what he does with everything, which is dispatch as many people as possible with talking points to confuse the issue, cloud it, and make it seem like the truth of the matter is that it is their responsibility, it is their fault, it's bigger than we thought. I'm just tired of it. I'm getting anxious, Riley. I'm getting creeped out.
Well, you know, I've been creeped out essentially since January 20th, 2001. Okay, that was the day that the man was inaugurated.
How do you take, boy, that's allotting a lot of energy to being creeped out. I have been creeped out that long, too, but it shifts with me. It goes from one thing to another, not a
Well, I didn't watch him, you know, until probably after September 11th. I refused to watch George W. Bush on television for about the first 10 or 11 months of 2001. I couldn't do it. I couldn't bear to bring myself to watch a guy who had essentially been installed by the courts.
Yeah.
And we need to be very clear about the fact that George W. Bush lost the popular vote 4 years ago by 500,000. Not by 12 or 537 in Florida, by 500,000 nationwide.
He's going down. I want him to go down. I just don't like their cocky arrogance. I can't deal with it. I can't deal with their lying. I can't deal with their belligerence. The thought of another 4 years of the type of people that, you know, are for George Bush being in charge, being condescending, having, being able to dictate culture, it just drives me nuts.
But you know what? By the end of the day today,
yes, sir.
All right, by the time we get out of here at 9 o'clock,
yes,
we're going to lay so much information on people that the idea of voting for George W. Bush will seem as alien as one of those space monsters they show on TV leading up to Halloween.
Yeah.
They will not be able to do this after we run the story of Bunny Greenhouse, after we run the continuing story of Al-Qaqa, and after we continue to run these stories about how this administration, for political and financial gain, has shafted virtually everyone in this country, including the soldiers that they pretend to love.
Yes.
People will not be able to stand this.
Dude, how about Giuliani? Just blaming the soldiers.
We're going to get to him, too.
Soldiers. Can we? You have that line?
Yeah, we got that.
Let's hear it right now.
No matter how you try to blame it on the president, the actual responsibility for it really would be for the troops that were there.
What a lackey douchebag. What a disgusting fascist douchebag.
He's America's mayor.
There's nobody's mayor, the ass kisser. I can't believe it, man. I can't believe that. I mean, blame the troops, Giuliani? Oh, my God.
I don't even know if he was ever even in the service, Rudy Giuliani.
A mother of a soldier, after that. Apparently, this woman, Eleanor Kajilman, of Henniker, an Air Force veteran whose son Kurt is an Army reservist in the Mideast, quote, that was such a demoralizing, destructive statement for Rudolph Giuliani to make. Once again, the troops are scapegoats for the administration's failures.
Well, what's hilarious about this is that this is precisely what Bush is trying to say Kerry is saying.
Right.
Where Kerry has never really said that the troops are responsible. You heard what Rudy Giuliani said. Bush is trying to, again, disperse blame, and one of his boys got off the ranch a little bit
right.
In terms of blaming the troops. So now they say, well, no, Giuliani wasn't blaming the troops. It was Kerry that was blaming the troops.
Yeah.
It's absurd.
Yeah, it's just like, see what they do? They send out this blame dispersal machine that just sends out all these henchmen and all these lackeys to go out and say things just so, no one notices that the guy at the center of it all, the president, doesn't take responsibility for anything. We know differently, but the people that surround the president, the people that are for the president, they don't take him to task for this. They see his stubbornness and his narrow-mindedness as strength. They see his inability to waver. We will not waver, even in the face of truth, facts, reality, science. We will not waver. You know, if a 12-year-old had that sort of syndrome where, you know, where you presented facts to the 12-year-old and he said, no, I'm going to believe it's the way I see it, that kid would need medicine. He would be put in a hospital of some kind for a little while. He would be under psychiatric treatment.
Well, he is, as we head into this last weekend of the presidential campaign, Bush is in trouble. Bush knows he's in trouble. He is fighting now a war on several fronts. And I'm not talking about the war in Iraq. I'm not talking about Al-Qaqar. I'm talking about right here in the good old U.S. of A. He's trying to, his people are trying to suppress the vote. He's trying to go to court to limit people's rights to sue if they are disenfranchised. He is putting a full court press on the rights of the American people. And unfortunately, not enough people are saying this about the guy. Not enough people, because what they do, Bush is saying, well, we're trying to make sure that nobody steals, that the Democrats don't steal the election, and everybody treats that as being equal to the obvious voter suppression that the Republicans have already got lined up, and it's nonsensical, and it needs to stop.
How do they portray themselves as the victims and expect anyone to believe it? You know, because that's really the heart of their base. You know, you're talking about a bunch of people that have turned to religion in order to, you know, blind themselves to the fact that they have been victimized by Republican policy. You know, so at the core of who they are, there is definitely a victim mentality, you know, and they play on that. You know, it's amazing how quickly they can just switch the tone of their message from like, well, those Democrats, can't you see you see what they're doing? You know, they've got people convinced that anything that comes out of the TV is somehow some weird, misleading conspiracy, that anything that, you know, that goes against the president's, you know, view of things or the administration's view of things is some sort of creepy, liberal sort of manipulation of the facts. And they never take their own, you know, their own leaders to task, and it's frightening. That kind of delusion and enforced nationalism is frightening.
Later this morning, we're going to talk a little bit more about Halliburton and about a woman named Bunny Greenhouse, who was involved in protesting some of the contracts that Halliburton got and what the Bush administration tried to do to her for opening her mouth. Again, more bad news coming up for George W. Bush, because this stuff is inexplicable to people. This kind of subversion of democracy, the subversion of people's beliefs in terms of why we would intercede overseas.
Oh, you got to get your friends out, man. You got to get your friends out. If you got anyone that's on the fence or anyone that's not planning on going to vote, you got to get them out to vote. There's very little time left to take action. You got to take that action. I mean, another thing that eats me is that this Bush campaign ad, you know, where he's speaking and he's troops here. It was doctored. They doubled the amount of troops. They just sort of did one of those computer tricks.
Yeah.
And I think it was just, you know, I think Bush actually, you know, probably preferred it that way, because that way he thinks that less people actually died in Iraq.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
That he was actually replacing the troops that actually died. And they were saying, see, look, they're all there. That's all of them except for the two that died in Iraq, the two people that you talk to, the two people that you acknowledge. This guy has never shown up at a funeral. He's, you know, he's paying lip service. He's this is the key. This ad that's on TV now, not the wolves, the one where they show
him
pretending to have feelings about the troops, is really at the core of the neocon death cult's agenda. These are people that will exploit the dead of the World Trade Center. They will exploit the dead of Iraq for their own political purposes. And when somebody like John Kerry, when the IAEA and the military, you know, come up with some real facts about, you know, the nature of the war and the mistakes that have been made and the munitions that were probably put in the hands of the enemy, the first thing they do is they, you know, they try to blame them of politicizing. But these people politicize death, and they build their campaign on the backs of dead Americans. And we're going to talk specifically about Iraq and the number of dead there, and Iraq and the Al-Qaqa, you know,
scandal.
It is a scandal, you know, and there's no way around it. Bush has some Al-Qaqa on his shoe. It's 15 after the hour. We'll be back after this on Air America Radio.
Hey, check us out at MorningSedition.com. We can blog, email, and waste lots of time at work looking at our links.
Fahrenheit 9/11. The studios refused to release it. The Republicans tried to stop it, but America needed to see it. Tonight, watch the IFC special, Fahrenheit 9/11, A Movement in Time, and find out how Michael Moore's little documentary went from Hollywood outcast to cultural phenomenon and became the most talked about film of the year. IFC presents Fahrenheit 9/11, A Movement in Time, tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific, only on the Independent Film Channel. IFC goes behind the scenes and gets into the controversy, featuring exclusive interviews with Michael Moore, Tim Robbins, Michael Stipe, and others. You've seen the movie, now get the inside story. See how the film no one wanted to touch became the record-breaking, highest-grossing documentary of all time. It's the last Friday before Election Day. Make it count. Watch Fahrenheit 9/11, A Movement in Time, uninterrupted and totally commercial-free. Tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific, only on IFC, the independent film channel. Don't have IFC? Go to ifctv.com and get it.
Planet Jack. Part of the fun of going to the ballpark is downing a cold beer and hot dog.
Pigs are filthy animals. I'll eat filthy animals.
Now there's a healthy, meat-free alternative good for you and the planet.
There are vegetarians. There are people with cultural inclinations toward a plant-based diet.
Thanks to Soy Happy, a consumer advocacy group that promotes healthy eating, baseball fans can nosh on veggie dogs guilt-free.
Providing vegetarian alternatives in mainstream venues is a good idea. It not only benefits people in terms of their health, but it also benefits animals and it benefits the environment.
Johanna McCloy, founder of Soy Happy, has hit a home run with 11 major league parks serving the soy dogs.
Surprisingly, the Chicago White Sox responded right away and they've been selling them ever since.
Be greener. Eat the veggie wiener. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Cliff Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
The secret of the
Hi, it's Lynn Samuels. Ooh, it's that scary time of year. All the pranksters are out throwing eggs, playing tricks on each other. I get chills even thinking about it. No, I'm not talking about Halloween. I'm talking about the Republicans! And the chance that scary George W. Bush can get back in office.
Election night coverage featuring Lynn Samuels from her living room on Sirius Left 143.
Is your child included in your activities? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. In our world today, it seems like we often segregate children from our daily living. We separate the kids from the adults at events we attend, in sports we play, at church, and at work. If we really want our children to learn from us, then it is absolutely necessary that they see us in our regular routine. We need to keep them joined at the hip. Let's teach our children life's lessons by including them when we do housework, yard work, run errands, and even at work when possible. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to familyminute.net. That's familyminute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Wash off the blackboard. Put away the books. Take down the posters.
Put away the gym balls.
Empty out our desks.
Scrape our names off the lockers.
Pull our drawings off the walls.
Put it all in the garbage.
Throw it away.
Throw it all away.
AIDS has killed more children worldwide than there are in all the grade schools in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Al Franken. Sirius Satellite Radio and Headcount urge you to make a difference. This year, it's more important than ever to wave that flag and let your voice be heard. If you're not registered, go to headcount.org, get serious, and vote.
Hi, I'm Avi Weir with the Dead.
Hi, this is Phil Lesh from the Grateful Dead.
Hi, this is Trey Anastasio reminding you that this year, it's more important than ever to get out and vote.
To register, go to www.headcount.org.
This November, show up and vote.
Past the hour, I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. Time is running out. That's right. We're coming. November 2nd. Get out there. put out this weird brush fire. You know what I mean?
Four-year-old brush fire.
Oh, man, dude. I'm going to be at Cobb's tonight in San Francisco. That's Cobb's Comedy Club with Will Durst, Kevin Rooney, and David Feldman and Jim Short. It's a stand-up for your rights comedy event. There's going to be a panel discussion afterwards. Where there's going to be conservative on the panel and the comics. We're going to do a show, and then we're going to have some audience
interaction.
You're going
to get the crap out of the conservative, aren't you?
I don't know where they have to stand now. I don't know what they have to stand on. They just seem, all the conservatives just seem very defensive to me, Mark. They just seem like, even the president, he's acting like a cornered person. You know, he's talking to his base. He's trying to shore up the base. I really think that at some rallies, if they even see somebody in the audience with a look of confusion on their face, they're sort of like, hey, I wonder if maybe Kerry, they taser him, and then they go, oh, okay, sorry, flip, flop, flip, you know. But let's get into this, because this is, you know, Cheney came out last night. Bush and Cheney are attempting to say that the explosives at Al-Qaqa could have been taken before the U.S. invaded. All right, Cheney seized on an ABC report that Iraqis have declared 141 tons of RDX explosives at Al-Qaqa in July 2002, but the site held only 3 tons when it was checked in January 2003 to make this point. However, an IAEA spokeswoman, Melissa Fleming, said most of the RDX, about 125 tons, was kept at Al-Mahawil, a storage site under Al-Qaqa's jurisdiction, located about 30 miles outside the main Al-Qaqa site. Now, that's 30 miles away. So you're talking about a site that has 1,000 buildings. 1,000 buildings. That's clearly at least 30 miles in diameter. Even if some explosives were taken before the U.S. invasion, which has not been supported by any concrete evidence, the fact is that according to the IAEA, the Iraqi interim government, U.S. troops from the 3rd Infantry, and Iraqi and American eyewitnesses, explosives were looted from Al-Qaqa after the U.S. invasion of Iraq. They saw it. They saw the looting. Now, those explosives are being used against U.S. troops in Iraq, and it has to be George Bush's fault.
Now, George Bush and his Pentagon say that this stuff could have been moved before the invasion. You know what the operative word is there?
Could have.
Could have. Yeah. Well, that's two words.
It's okay.
My mistake.
I know what you're saying.
Could have. How come you don't know? Has anyone asked why the Bush administration does not know when this ordinance was moved? If they are saying it could have been moved before the war, well, when? What day? Do you have pictures? You showed pictures to the UN. Colin Powell had pictures galore of something that it turned out not to be true. So where's your evidence? You're saying it could have been moved. The weight of the evidence says it was moved after the invasion. You say it could have happened before the invasion. And you're grasping at an ABC News report? Dick Cheney, you idiot, you. You are grabbing at an ABC News report to buttress a claim of what could, to buttress speculation about what could have happened?
Right. And also last Monday, you know, on Monday, the Pentagon spokesman, you know, copped to this. I mean, that's the bottom line, is that the administration copped to it. And then when the story about the NBC, the NBC reporter.
Yeah.
When she came out.
Liling Ju
said that she was there and, you know, she didn't see anything. They seized that. Now, that's a desperate action right there. I mean, if you think about it, this is the presidential, the Oval Office, the administration, the Pentagon, the State Department. Okay, they seize on a woman who was embedded with the 101st on a trip, you know, not there to secure explosives. Didn't even know it. The commander of the 101st said, didn't even know the explosives were there. The administration seizes on her saying, I didn't see anything, as evidence that there was nothing there. And they put that, they said that. They actually, you know, cited her saying, I didn't see anything, even though she didn't look for anything. But that's so desperate and so pathetic. And this is just the tip of the iceberg, apparently, isn't it, Riley?
Well, I mean, so much for the liberal media. Cheney and these people have nobody to quote from but the liberal media, it seems.
Yeah.
But see, here's the larger issue, Mark.
Yeah.
When people know that there are potentially dangerous explosives or munitions in a particular spot, if you look at any war footage, from documentary war footage from World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, whatever.
Right.
What's the first thing they do? They bomb the ordnance. All right. If there are munitions plants in Germany, when the Allies first went in, what did they do? They bombed the munitions plants to cripple people's ability to make weapons. That sounds logical, right?
Sure.
Now, they knew, because the IAEA told them, and they don't deny that they knew, in January of 2003, before the war, that these munitions were being stored at Al-Qaqa.
Yes.
Why not level it? Why not just bomb everything and level all 1,000 buildings, and then you don't have to worry about the ordnance coming back to haunt you because it's gone. You're talking about shock and awe. That was the initial phase of the Iraq War. Well, how come they didn't shock those munitions?
Right.
How come they didn't awe the Iraqis by saying, you know what? We have blown up every potential explosive that you guys could use.
Right. Yeah.
But they didn't do it. And why didn't they do it? Because they were incompetent. That's why they didn't do it.
Incompetent. And also, I don't know what type of explosives they are, but who knows how big that explosion could have been.
It could have been a lot.
And also, it wasn't, strategic in their eyes. And also, you know, it's not big news on the TV to say, we blew up some things to blow up. You know what I mean? You know, it's much more exciting.
No, but you know what they could have spun? They could have said, we blew up the enemy's ability to respond to us.
Yeah, but you know what? It's not clear with this administration how they went about this war, whether that was actually their prime motive. I mean, they clearly wanted this war to go on for a while. I don't care what anybody says. I mean, they say they wanted it to go quickly. But, you know, the fact that they let Zarqawi go 3 or 4 times in order to make sure that there was a connection between terror and Iraq, which there wasn't before they went in, if they let that happen, why wouldn't they let these arms get into the hands of these terrorists to really sort of, you know, make the battle a little more interesting for them, a little more compelling? They may have still thought they were going to win. They really probably thought in their head that let the terrorists have a few arms, you know. I don't know if that's true, you know, but it's complicity through negligence. It goes along the same lines of thought where people say that, you know, the reason 9/11 was so confusing and that it wasn't an oversight, that it was sort of allowed to sort of unfold in order for this president to be able to do whatever he wanted to do with the Congress, to get any laws that he wanted to pass through, to get any policy he wanted done. I mean, it's clear from the Herskovitz interview yesterday that we talked about.
Yeah.
This was that Bush's Mickey Herskovitz, who was Bush's ghostwriter on his biography before he was fired and replaced by the religious fanatic Karen Hughes, that he said that Bush really, you know, thought that by going into a small country and invading it, that would give him the credibility of being a commander-in-chief, and no one messes with a commander-in-chief.
The Falklands effect. That's what he thought. He thought that he would get the same kind of accolades that Margaret Thatcher got. He thought he'd get the same kind of approval rating that his daddy had after having invaded Iraq.
Well, you know, it's going to be great. As Paul Krugman's meeting our show later,
yes,
we're going to talk to him about the implications of this munitions problem, this explosives problem, just how big the problem is, also where the campaign is. You know, I don't know, maybe Bush can just have his people Photoshop some new soldiers into Iraq as opposed to reinstate the draft that he's probably going to reinstate if he is reelected.
There's software for everything. They could have Bush speaking in front of the entire United States military in a commercial because they can.
Yeah, they just invent them. Just move it. Just
oh, by the way.
Yeah.
Ramon doesn't want to be called Ramon anymore. He wants to be called Ray.
Okay. All right.
Ray Ray.
Okay. Ray Ray. You got it.
He's got the presidential pop out. We got the liberal agenda and more when we come back here on Air America Radio.
$5 million Americans are uninsured, and those with insurance continue to face skyrocketing costs and less coverage. Stop being deprived of the coverage you need and get the advantage, MedAdvantage. MedAdvantage has been lowering health care costs for the insured and uninsured since 1995. Don't let rising prescription and health care costs take advantage of you. Get MedAdvantage instead. You can save hundreds of dollars per year with this simple and easy-to-use program. Membership is just $99 per year and will cover your entire family. There are no forms to fill out and no waiting for reimbursement. Call MedAdvantage at 888-595-4217 and start saving now. Membership is available to everyone regardless of age or medical condition. In fact, we're so confident you'll be pleased with the MedAdvantage program, we're offering a full 100% money-back guarantee. Call MedAdvantage at 888-595-4217 and start saving now. Once again, call 888-595-4217. MedAdvantage, reducing the personal cost of healthcare.
MedAdvantage is not an insurance plan.
Jim Brewer is now on Sirius Raw Dog 147 5 days a week.
He won't leave.
And we're very excited about it.
We let him do one show as a favor.
Now you've got Brewer 5 days a week.
And he just started showing up every day.
Jim Brewer.
He brought a sleeping bag.
Monday through Friday.
Now he sleeps here.
Sirius Raw Dog 147.
That was 6 months ago.
Hey, dude.
Oh, hey, Jim.
See you there.
Yeah.
Goat boy.
Yeah.
Never gets old. Jim Brewer. Every day, 4 p.m. Eastern, every week, forever. Starting Monday on Raw Dog 147.
Hi, I'm Bobby Lankos with today's Car Clinic Minute. You're just nodding off when suddenly...
Don't you wish you could do something about these pesky car alarms? You can, and I'll tell you what. When we come back. We've all seen the tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your tornado unit today. Or visit tornadoair.com. If the monotonous whoop whoop of car alarms has you putting in earplugs and pulling out your hair, you're not alone. According to a Columbia University study, almost 95% of all audible car alarms are false. But before you take out your sleep deprivation with a baseball bat, check your city's noise ordinance codes. Many alarms are considered a violation and ticketable offense. So what's the best bet for automotive protection? Alarm alternatives such as pager notification, GPS tracking systems, and electrical immobilizers essentially provide the same protection without all the, pardon the pun, bells and whistles. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
All right, you 4 years old son, ready for the big leagues. Put your bat on, buddy. There you go, helmet. Okay, that's right, your thigh guards. Now don't forget your mouth guard. You don't want to be losing teeth in your first game. Well, they're baby teeth, but yeah, put it in there.
But Daddy...
Don't let them worry you. They may be over 200 pounds and kind of mean looking, but you're ready for them. Just run through them. Here's the ball. Run!
Daddy?
Don't look at me. Run with it. Go, boy, run!
But I could get hurt.
No pain, no gain. Now run!
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult. So why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Ah, you should have straight-armed them.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Hey, this is Cuba Gooding Sr.
This is Donovan.
This is J.C. Chazet, and there's one place in this country where you have all the power.
Where your voice counts.
Where you can make things change and make a difference.
The voting booth. Yo, yo, what's going on, America? It's your boy, Urban Mystic, and right now I'm encouraging everybody out there to go out and vote, all right?
It only takes a few minutes.
Your vote does make a difference.
Your vote counts.
Your vote counts.
It's your future.
Vote.
Vote.
Vote. We're serious.
We be serious.
Get serious about voting.
Paul McCartney, on behalf of RAD, if you're drinking, you can't drive my car or any car. And remember, don't drink and drive. It's just not worth it.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
It's 34 past the hour. We're not communists.
We're not?
We're Americans.
I must be on the wrong show.
Patriotic Americans. That's right. Trying to get out the truth as we see it. And
that's
as
right.
It comes to us from the truth headquarters.
Not only that, we take dissent seriously around here, all
right? That's right. I'm descending right now
into the
pit of my own being. That's different. That's like skewering. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I skewer and I descend. Speak out. Descend. Okay, I'm going down. That's Mark Riley. Let's get back to it. We got business to do. Halliburton, which, as Tucker Carlson likes to dismiss as, yeah, Halliburton. Okay, it's evil. Okay, Halliburton, it's evil. We're going to talk about that in a second. But Ray Ray came by wearing a Jewish star. What's that about? I have no idea, you know, where he comes from or what his deal is, but now he's got the keychain with his ear.
Uh-huh. All right?
He's got the Jewish star going. Whoop. He wants to be called Ray Ray.
Yeah.
All right? I think he lives in Miami. And it's very hard to tell. It's very hard to tell. And with that weird haircut. I mean, I don't understand.
The haircut is interesting.
Yeah, I don't even want to go into it. Here's the presidential schedule today. 7:30 a.m., wake up, stay on message. John Kerry is responsible for 100,000 deaths in Iraq. Note, call Carl. This message isn't going to work. 11:05 a.m. Speak at Rally, Manchester, New Hampshire. Tell them, how can I be responsible for so many mistakes when I haven't made any mistakes? 1:05 p.m. Speak at Rally, Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Tell them, the video of our soldiers at Al Qaqa was clearly faked. Come on, one of the Iraqis is wearing a Red Sox hat. 4:30 p.m. Speak at Rally, Toledo, Ohio. Note, ask someone in the crowd what I said in Dayton yesterday. Repeat that and then say, and that goes double today. 7:10 p.m. Speak at Rally, Columbus, Ohio. Tell them, here's what John Kerry said to one of his advisors. You know who makes the best Iraqi cannon fodder? People from Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, God.
Wait for booing. 9 p.m. back in Washington. Fitting for Halloween costume. Sad clown again. 10 p.m. Counter FBI investigation of Halliburton with Halliburton investigation of FBI. Expose one random undercover agent per week until they drop this thing. 10:30 p.m. bedtime. Think happy thought. Here's what I get to do in 5 days. Drink. Never go to Ohio again. Tell Cheney to shove it. Drink. Scream at reporters. Pardon a bunch of my friends. And drink. So the FBI is going to do it. Thank God for whistleblowers.
The FBI is investigating the Pentagon and Halliburton. I want you all to remember this name very, very, actually, it's probably not very difficult to remember. The name is Bunnatine Greenhouse, a.k.a. Bunny Greenhouse. Bunny Greenhouse is the Army Corps of Engineers chief contracting officer, and she ought to get a medal from a grateful public. She came forward last weekend, went public with allegations that the Army Corps of Engineers unfairly awarded a Halliburton subsidiary, KBR, no-bid contracts worth billions of dollars for work in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And when she opened her mouth and when she complained about these no-bid contracts, they tried to demote her.
Uh-huh.
They tried to shut her up.
Uh-huh.
And now the FBI wants to talk to her because they want to find out exactly how far and how deep this scandal actually goes.
This is a criminal probe, right?
This is a criminal probe, and according to the Army Corps of Engineers spokeswoman Carol Sanders, quote, the Corps is absolutely cooperating with the FBI, and it has been an ongoing effort. Well, if you're cooperating, where's Bunny Greenhouse?
Right.
How come the FBI's got it's like a day later. Where is she? How come they haven't talked to her yet?
Right.
If you're cooperating.
Right. Halliburton's claiming that the reason they got the contract was because they were the only ones that could do the work anywhere on the planet.
They've already disproved that because some of the work that Halliburton was supposed to do has been farmed out to yet another company.
By Halliburton?
No.
They farmed it out?
No.
Oh.
The government farmed it out when people said, well, you know what? You can't give everything to Halliburton. So they gave something to a company called Parsons, about $800 million worth. But Halliburton, I mean, when you look at the timelines here, when you look at the amounts of money that Halliburton actually got to do this work, and then when you combine it with the fact that early on, people may have forgotten this, but early on, a couple of Halliburton employees already pled guilty to having siphoned off about $6 to $7 million. Remember those
at the taxpayers' expense?
At the taxpayers' expense. You remember those contracts to ship gas?
Sure.
To the Iraqis so that they could, you know, here's an oil rich country that has to import gas from Kuwait.
Right.
All right. And guess who trucked it in?
And weren't they
Halliburton?
Right. And weren't they overcharging for military meals or something like that?
They've been overcharging, it seems, for virtually everything.
Yeah.
Now let's look at a timeline going back to October 8th. And this is according to an article in the L.A. Times.
Mm-hmm.
On October 8th, which is, what's today? The 29th?
It's October 29th.
A mere 3 weeks ago.
Yep.
The Army Corps of Engineers awarded Halliburton a $165 million extension that allows Halliburton's subsidiary, KBR, to provide logistics services to troops in the Balkans.
Wow.
Not even Iraq.
Right.
They're all over the place, these Halliburton people.
This is what they do. They thank God for war every day, Halliburton people.
Yeah, they do. But see, you know, this woman, Bunny Greenhouse, would have just been yet another fodder, you know, piece of fodder for the Bush administration.
Well, there's still time.
Well, yeah, they're still trying to discredit the poor
woman. Sure, of course.
But see, she's got a lawyer, and she stood behind the whistleblower statutes that are on the books, which I'm sure the Bush administration will be eliminating if they get a second term. So they can't really go after her. But they have established that, yes, there were people inside the Army Corps of Engineers that told her if she didn't shut up and stop yelling about these Halliburton contracts, she was going to lose her gig.
lose her gig, and now I'm sure that they'll do their regular thing. Oh, she's crazy. She's bitter. It's sour grapes. She's got her own agenda. You know, that's what they're trying to do to the Egyptian cat who works over at the IAEA. What's that guy's name again? I don't want to
Al Baradei.
Yeah. They're trying
the Egyptian guy. That's enough right there. He's an Egyptian. He's not credible.
He's a loose cannon. He's spoken against Israel. This guy's not credible. It's sour grapes. The timing's suspect. You know, a lot of people want to get information out at this time to make sure that it does have an effect on how people see this president and how they make their election choice. When truth comes out about somebody, even if it's during an election cycle, even if it is held to the point, you know, of just before the election, that, you know, it may be a tactic, but if it's true, it doesn't really matter. And the truth of the matter is, it tries to cut down on the amount of spin that they can disarm something with. Because just because they spin it a certain way, it doesn't have any bearing on the truth of the matter, it just confuses the matter. So, tactically, and even if you're nonpartisan, you know, even if the information is coming from a nonpartisan entity like the IAEA, you know, this information is important to be dropped at a time where people can assess it and not be victim to the type of spin and confusion that the Bush administration will propagate in order to, you know, solidify and win their base and continue to have the support they need.
Yeah, and that is what this is all about. That's why they're going to try and discredit this woman, Bunny Greenhouse, from the Army Corps of Engineers, mm-hmm. who had the nerve, the audacity, to sit up in a meeting where they were talking about awarding these contracts and object to the fact that that Halliburton subsidiary people were sitting in the meeting.
Right.
Can you imagine that?
Right.
These are these KBR people. They are sitting in a meeting where a sole source contract was being discussed, a sole source, no bid contract that benefited them. They said, this is like Dick Cheney sitting in on the energy.
Right.
This is insane.
Completely insane. And this is one of the areas that, you know, John Kerry will sort of really reassess when he's president in terms of how we handle, you know, and how the Americans in the United States here handles the reconstruction of Iraq in terms of, you know, giving a little more of the work to Iraqis,
yeah.
Iraqi companies, to really start to build the infrastructure and make them, you know, have a big part in the restructuring of their own country. I mean, this is something that this administration is completely icing out of. And then they claim now that American contractors and European contractors, if there are any left there, can't do anything because the place is so dangerous.
Yeah.
Well, I guarantee you, if there were more Iraqi firms working on stuff and there was a better sense of morale among Iraqis in terms of just rebuilding their own country, it might be a little less dangerous. That's just my speculation. What do I really know?
Three words. Rife with corruption. That's
absolutely
what this whole thing is about.
And we'll talk a little more about this stuff when we come back about maybe, you know, if we can get into some very disturbing numbers about the number of Iraqi deaths. And also we'll have the liberal agenda and much more. It's 43 past the hour. Stay with us. It's Air America Radio.
This is Al Franken, the host of the Al Franken Show on Air America Radio. For the last 6 months, we've been doing 3 hours a day of cutting-edge radio programming. We've had guests like Bill Clinton, John Kerry, and Strom Thurmond.
Yeah, Pekka, it knows no bigotry.
We've covered events like the handover of power in Iraq. We've explained difficult concepts like the growing national debt using nothing more than an ordinary slide whistle. Now we're presenting our show in a convenient, easy-to-use, one-hour version every night on Sundance Channel. Finally, you'll be able to see what we're talking about. Right, Strom?
That's right.
Tune in every night at 11:30 on Sundance Channel for the Al Franken Show. And if you don't get Sundance Channel, go to their website, sundancechannel.com. Al and Sundance Channel. Together again.
Quick, who's accusing the Bush administration of high crimes and misdemeanors? Obsessive secrecy, waging war on the environment. Hint,
it's not John Kerry's party.
George Bush has become so radical that even traditional Republicans are alarmed and speaking out. In video interviews released on MotherJones.com, big-name conservatives from past Republican administrations are blasting the Bush record. Nixon counsel John Dean charges that Bush's obsessive secrecy amounts to an impeachable offense. Reagan official Clyde Prestowitz says Bush's Iraq crusade and his penchant for alienating allies has made us less safe than 4 years ago. Nixon Commerce Secretary Pete Peterson bemoans Bush's fiscal recklessness and says the ballooning deficit is almost criminal. And Nixon and Ford EPA director says that Bush has declared war on the environment. Bush told us 4 years ago that he was a uniter, not a divider. Who knew he'd unite Democrats and traditional Republicans against him? This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
Jim Brewer is now on Sirius Raw Dog 147 5 days a week.
He won't leave.
And we're very excited about it.
We let him do one show as a favor.
Now you've got Brewer 5 days a week.
And he just started showing up every day.
Jim Brewer.
He brought a sleeping bag.
Monday through Friday.
Now he sleeps here.
Sirius Raw Dog 147.
That was 6 months ago.
Hey, dude.
Oh, hey, Jim.
Huh, didn't see you there.
Oh, no, thanks. I'm cool.
Right on.
Jim Brewer. Every day, 4 p.m. Eastern, every week, forever.
Oh, God.
Starting Monday on Raw Dog.
How are you at hellos and goodbyes? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. The way we greet our spouse and the way we tell them goodbye can really set the tone for the whole day or evening. So try to practice these three steps to a great hi and bye. 1. Make eye contact so they'll feel like they have your attention. Next, include some physical affection, a kiss or a hug. And finally, keep your words pleasant. It's not the time for complaints or controversy. Make your hellos and goodbyes meaningful. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
AIDS has killed nearly 6 million children worldwide. That's more than every child in every preschool, grade school, and high school in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
We waste a lot of energy and money. Producing that energy consumes valuable resources and creates pollution. You can help by lowering your thermostat in winter and raising it in summer. Have your furnace and air conditioner serviced and cleaned. Turn your water heater down to 120 to 140 degrees. And check your refrigerator for leaky gaskets around the doors. Caulk, weather strip, and insulate walls, attics, basements, windows, doors, and pipes. These energy conservation tips are brought to you by the National Wildlife Federation.
I'm Bill O'Reilly.
And I'm looking at this and I'm going, if I have to go down, I'm willing to do it. Now just think about that. They want $60 million. Punish me. O'Reilly did X, Y, and Z. The papers love that. I gotta say, this is the worst day of my life. Punish me. Punish me. Now just think about that. If I have to go down, I'm willing to do it.
Yeah.
Punish me. Enough.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, never enough.
They settled, dude. They settled. They agreed not to talk about it anymore. That means he's guilty. They said, listen, I got a little tape for you. Here's the tape.
They played this, what we just played.
Yeah.
I wish I had more. I don't want to let it go quite yet. We haven't even talked about it because it's not that important anymore, but screw that guy.
Well, they settled, but I bet you he's still got Marvin Gaye in the iPod, though, huh?
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, but it's just interesting that that loudmouth has actually agreed not to talk about something because he's guilty.
Relax.
Guilty.
Relax.
Guilty.
That's what the old men always say that to young girls they're trying to seduce. Relax.
Yeah.
Please relax.
Yeah, coming from that guy, relax.
Relax. Yes. Relax.
So, shifting gears into me, I will be at Cobb's Comedy Club tonight, www.cobbscomedyclub.com. There's going to be five of us We're all going to be doing some funny, and then we're going to sit down and we're going to talk with the audience. It's all it's a Stand Up for Your Rights part two. It's Will Durst, Kevin Rooney, David Feldman, myself, Jim Short. It's going to be a good show. It's in San Francisco. So if you live in San Francisco, PabstComedyClub.com. Also, some voter information. You don't have much time to help get out the vote, but you can help by this weekend calling registered voters by calling. Oh, my God. Go to www.votercall.org and get on their list, and you can call registered voters and get them off their butts and out into the polls. It's going to be rough. It's going to be a day that, you know, might be intimidating. There might be a lot of waiting. But, dudes, it's one day, every 4 years for something like this. And this is important, you know. And if your employer, you know, doesn't let you go vote and doesn't understand the gravity of this situation, I think you could actually report them. I think that you can actually, call 1-866-R-VOTE and ask them that. Tell them that if your boss is not going to let you off to vote, see what kind of legal action you can take around that.
That's right. Don't lock the doors, all right? Because, you know, some people end up getting locked in their places of employment sometimes.
God forbid they give us a day off or make it 2 days or have it on a weekend. You know, God forbid they do that. You know what I mean? Because that would make it, that would help people actually vote properly, wouldn't it?
I'm going to tell you something.
Yeah.
I anticipate huge numbers of people lining up at polling sites all over America waiting to vote.
Did you see how many people showed up at that Kerry event yesterday? Like 80,000
people.
Unbelievable.
For John Kerry.
Unbelievable.
It was in Madison, Wisconsin, where we're on 92.1, baby.
And they he laid it, man, you know, he got up there with Springsteen. It was good.
Yeah.
He's got great tenor. He's got great momentum. I'm very excited. And if you don't like Kerry, there's still people out there like, he doesn't quite connect with me. He doesn't speak to me. Let it go. He's the guy. He's our guy. Not all presidents are, you know, make you love them. Not all presidents are, you know, they're not required to fill your horrendous void in your soul or make you feel better about you. They're not your daddies.
At least come on, the guy we got now.
Come on, yeah, quit acting like Republicans. You know what I mean? Republicans, you know, all those sort of, you know, dim, narrow-minded, delusional people that really think Bush is their daddy. He's our daddy. He's tough like my daddy was. Look how stubborn he is. That reminds me of my daddy. Oh, look at him pimp-slapping us with that BS. My daddy did that, too. Look at him. He's making the entire United States an abused spouse, but we have no choice but to love him because he's our daddy.
He's God's president.
Look, you know, liberals and Democrats, you know, we like to argue. We like to think about a lot of different things at once. We like to engage in a lot of, you know, speculation and this and that. You know, we don't have the narrow-minded sort of agenda that they do. So, you know, everyone's going to have criticisms. But it's not Kerry's job to make you feel better emotionally. He's a Democratic candidate for the presidency. Vote for him if you're a Democrat. You know what? Vote for him if you're a Republican. If you're undecided, vote for him. If you're not going to plan on going to vote, go vote and vote for Kerry. If you don't know who to vote for, here, let me help you out. Vote for Kerry. Mm-hmm. How's that? Because here's another reason why. You want to know how many people, how many Iraqi people have been killed since this president made his unilateral decision to go kill them, the neocon death cult agenda? Well, it looks like a survey of deaths in Iraqi households estimates that as many as 100,000 more people may have died throughout the country in the 18 months after the U.S. invasion than would be expected based on the death rate before the war. That's not saying that 100,000 were killed by the war. But that, you know, this is how, you know, you can only do this in the same way that polls are done. You know, that this is like a percentage. But
yeah, this is projections. This was done, by the way. These are not, you know, surveys done by some rock and roll high school. This was done by researchers at Johns Hopkins, at Columbia, and the Al-Mustanariya University in Baghdad. And it's going to be published on the website of The Lancet. Mm-hmm. Which is a very well-established and well-regarded medical journal. So this is not just someone picking 100,000 out of the air. They actually did surveys. They're not certain as to exact numbers, but they do know that there may well have been as many as 100,000 Iraqi civilians killed in the 18 months after the U.S. invasion.
And I quote the report, most individuals reportedly killed by coalition forces were women and children.
Yeah.
War is awful, but these are the kind of numbers you don't hear. And obviously, you know, 1,000 plus, almost 1,100 American troops, more than that.
Yeah.
I'm going to get that number.
I'm going to get that number when I come back because I don't want to make a...
As of Wednesday, it's 1,081.
1,081.
Yeah.
Wow. So here are the 10 reasons, outside of what we just said, why Bush must go. 4 days before the election, we're doing this now. Every day, we've got... This are hundreds of... This is the...
This is 100.
Number one, on Iraq, he threatened to veto the $87 billion war budget authorization if it wasn't in the form he wanted, then criticized John Kerry for doing the same thing.
Number two, on diplomacy, he failed to convince NATO allies that invading Iraq was important, leaving U.S. troops to bear 90% of the burden.
Number three, on Social Security, he depleted the Social Security Trust Fund surplus despite making a campaign promise to not touch it.
Number four, on government spending, he promised to, quote, attack pork barrel spending, unquote, but has not vetoed a single bill while in office despite the enormous amount of pork that has crossed his desk.
Number five, on taxes, he told the American people, quote, the vast majority of my tax cuts go to the bottom end of the spectrum, unquote, while the top 20% of earners received 70% of those tax cuts.
Number six, on conflicts of interest, he appointed James Baker to seek forgiveness of Iraqi debt despite Baker's business ties to companies that are opposed to Iraqi debt forgiveness.
Number seven, on health care, he never established the Healthy Communities Innovation Fund, which would have provided grant money to health care programs, as he promised in his 2000 campaign.
Number eight, on public safety, despite claiming to support it, he allowed the federal law banning the sale of semi-automatic assault weapons to lapse 10 years after the law was implemented and effectively reduced gun-related violent crimes.
Number nine, on first responders, he cut grants to the nation's police and fire departments by nearly $1 billion in the fiscal year 2005 budget.
Number 10, on jobs creation, he lost a net total of 833,000 jobs since taking office in 2001, becoming the first president since Herbert Hoover not to create any new jobs.
That's 100. That's 100 reasons we've given so far. We have those at morningsedition.com. Also, not unlike Herbert Hoover, apparently... Hoover is not so able to admit a mistake either. And, you know, as the country plunged into depression, kept talking about how great the economy was doing.
Prosperity's just around the corner.
Is that Hoover?
That's Hoover.
That's hilarious. Here's a liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Write these down. Halloween agenda. This is one. Halloween agenda. Give trick-or-treaters cruelty-free snacks and a lecture on the importance of voting. Two, dress your children up as conscientious objectors. Three, put flashlight under chin and tell kids scary story about Bush's second term and his Supreme Court nominees. Four, carve friendly jack-o'-lantern in the shape of Hans Blix. Five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. Quote, you know the kid who made your Spider-Man outfit is also wearing a costume today. He's dressed as a malnourished little boy in a sweatshop, man. Enjoy your candy, kid. Man. Brutal.
In the next hour of Morning Sedition, we've got Planet Bush with Lawton Smalls, the latest on voting problems in Florida, and later, New York Times columnist Paul Krugman, all here on Air America Radio.
Seen a hornet, Shelly?
No, ma'am.
Oh, well, you're fine. What are you waiting for? They've built a nest outside your window. See?
No.
You will when you climb 15 feet up this ladder to get rid of them. Take this insecticide and broom and send those stinging meanies packing.
What if I fall? I could get hurt.
Oh, you know about gravity already. You're so smart. Oh, go, 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 go. The hornets are waiting.
Shelly, get away!
Limit them, dear. Hornets hate high-pitched noises. Try not to swallow too many.
Get away!
Knock that nest out of the park.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seat belts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
I can't see! Are they biting me?
Oh, they're so cute. No, honey, hornets don't bite, silly. They sting.
Ow!
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Ben.
I am the Edison photograph to delight those who would have melody on.
Now, Sirius Satellite Fresh. It's on.
This
is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. With the election just around the corner, the issue of missing explosives from Iraq, the so-called October surprise, continues to dominate the campaigns of the leading candidates. Advisors for Bush Cheney have admitted that the issue has actually slowed down their campaign. The Republicans are apparently scrambling to get their game in order to counter the criticism. Party's rising star, former New York City Mayor Rudolph Giuliani, yesterday sought to put things in perspective, shifting the blame of the disappearance from Bush to the troops on the ground. Listen.
No matter how you try to blame it on the president, the actual responsibility for it really would be for the troops that were there.
Somehow, when a Republican stands for the president and blames the troops, it's okay. But when someone outside the party alludes to the troops, there suddenly appears to be a White House double standard. Here's George W. Bush yesterday.
Senator Kerry showed his willingness to put politics ahead of the facts and the truth. He criticized our military's handling of explosives in Iraq.
But the truth is, John Kerry never placed blame on the troops. Since the release of the New York Times story earlier this week, Kerry has steadfastly placed blame on the Bush administration for negligence on missing explosives and the lack of a plan to stabilize Iraq.
The troops did their job, but the Bush administration failed to tell them what they already knew, what they, the administration, knew, what the international agencies already knew, that this site contained some of the largest quantities of the most dangerous explosives in Iraq.
John Kerry in the campaign trail yesterday in Wisconsin. Meanwhile, Rudolph Giuliani stumped for president in New Hampshire on Thursday, but the former New York City mayor riled some residents even before arriving. In a morning television appearance, Giuliani criticized Democrat Kerry for blaming the president for the disappearance of hundreds of tons of explosives in Iraq. No matter how you try to blame it on the president, the actual responsibility for it really would be on the troops that were there. Did they search carefully enough? Didn't they search carefully enough? He said on NBC's Today Show. That rankled Elder Kajelman of Henniker, an Air Force veteran whose son Kurt is an Army reservist in the Middle East. That was such a demoralizing, destructive statement for Giuliani to make. Once again, the troops are scapegoats with the administration's failure, she said, at a Democratic protest before planned appearance by Rudolph Giuliani in Bedford. There is no end to the violence in Iraq this morning. Insurgents yesterday slaughtered 11 Iraqi National Guardsmen they claim were doing the work of protecting Americans. They also threatened to stage more kidnappings and killings to avenge the deaths of women and children killed in U.S. airstrikes on militant strongholds in Fallujah. Another woman yesterday fell prey to a kidnapping, and a Polish woman in her 60s married to an Iraqi national was abducted. Her captors are demanding that Poland withdraw its 2,044 troops from the Middle Eastern country. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Take a ghoulish ride with the ghosts of Halloween Past each night this week on Sirius Radio Classics. Horror shows from the Fright Masters, Bela Lugosi, Boris Karloff, Vincent Price, and on Halloween Eve, it's Orson Welles' War of the Worlds. The classic War of the Worlds, Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern. Plus the Masters of Horror each weeknight on a special Fright Fest. All this week on Sirius Radio Classics 133.
Hello, everybody. I'm Tony Tantillo, your fresh grocer. Today's tip is going to be on blood oranges. Now, these oranges are called blood oranges because when you cut them in half, it looks like they're bleeding. They're red inside, and they got the flavor of, let's say, cranberry juice mixed with oranges, a bittersweet flavor. Very popular in Europe. As a matter of fact, blood oranges are the number one oranges sold in Europe, and every year they're getting more popular here and the U.S. for a great reason. Their flavor and their color. When you buy them, the more of a red tinge you're going to have on the outside, the redder the sweeter they're going to be on the inside. Now, they're not as big as a navel orange. A medium-sized one is probably the most popular. When you bring them home, like all citrus, throw them on the counter, never in the refrigerator. Now, I love blood oranges cut up, sliced, and wedged in many different salads, spring mix, or blood orange juice in the morning. You just can't beat it. And I'm Tony Tantillo, your fresh grocer, and that is your tip for the day. Hello, I'm Tony Tantillo. You know, sometimes information on nutrition and health can seem overwhelming. That's why there's the Dole Nutrition News. Twice a month, this electronic newsletter will bring you the very latest in diet and nutrition research, plus recipes, fitness tips, and natural beauty ideas. Best of all, it's absolutely free. How do you get all this information? Simply just go to www.dolenutrition.com. To sign up, it's free, it's easy, and it's loaded with news that you can use to lose weight and look great. Again, that's www.dolenutrition.com.
Stewart, how are those hedges coming, little man?
Dad!
Sorry, you're not little. You're five. And you're holding a 10-horsepower gas hedge trimmer. I should watch myself, huh? So, fire her up and show those hedges who they're messing with.
But I could get hurt.
Don't focus on the negative. Come on, go get him, killer! Ah, that's the battle cry of a lawn warrior. Now, steady the blade! Where are those hedges?
Dad, please!
Think of the trimmer as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from...
The
cat! Oh, and the neighbor's new car!
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Dad, make it stop!
Come back here. You can do the neighbor's drugs after you finish ours.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Hi, I'm Mark Maron. You're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour. And this is Morning's Edition. Morning geniuses, philosopher, kings and queens, working class heroes. Vote for Kerry. Bruce Springsteen wants you to. Isn't that enough? Good morning, ineffectual intellectuals, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, snotty, selfish people who are voting for Bush. Listen to us. Don't do it. Rethink it. You know, I just got an email last night from somebody. And, you know, people, I guess they don't quite misinterpret me because I am a little, I'm skeptical and I'm also, you know, agnostic leaning towards atheism, which, you know, which, you know, affects some people. I'm a bit on the mystical side, but that's just because I'm frightened and choose to entertain myself with things. But we are so glad, this is the email. Hi, Mark and Mark. We are so glad to have Air America in Colorado. Indeed, a quote unquote breath of fresh air. I love your show, but I do have some food for thought for you. While I understand the comedy content of the show surrounding the many issues affecting this very crucial election, I would like to remind you that you have a lot of Democratic born-again Christians, quote-unquote, who are voting for Kerry Edwards and who are actively campaigning to that end. It seems that the perception of the show, based on comments, jokes, etc., is that all born-again Christians are bushwashed. And then she puts in parentheses, brainwashed. I got it. Well, not all of us are. This is still a contingent who support Kerry. As such, you can see how some of the show's content can be somewhat offensive and degrading to us, especially when we are recommending Air America to our family, friends, church members, etc. Maybe you could acknowledge the fact that not all born-again Christians are wackos or Bush supporters. I just believe that it's not necessary to attack our religious foundation in order to make your point. I must be honest and say that my friends, M&M, it is offensive sometimes, I must be honest and say that, my friends Eminem, it is offensive sometimes. I believe in Jesus Christ, the rapture, etc., and I simply don't like my jokes regarding faith. Thanks for considering my point of view. Okay, well,
can I deal with this real quick?
Okay.
Not all born-again Christians are wackos.
Absolutely.
Next. No, sorry.
I
want to blow it away that quickly, but if the point is we don't want to say all born-again Christians are wackos, Sinister, I'll say it. You don't have to say it. I'll say it.
Not
all born-again Christians are wackos.
I don't think so either. My stepmother is a born-again Christian, and I don't, you know, the truth of the matter is, I mean, you're obviously free to choose, you know, whatever, you know, myth system works for you to relieve you of your burden in this life and to protect you from the fears and existential despair and disappointment that life brings. You know, there is a freedom of religion. You're free to that. But I don't know that, and I understand there's a lot of things I say that are offensive to a lot of people. And if you're talking about Rapture Watch, that is Mort Milfington's honest, you know, attempt to understand Revelations.
I've never really been able to figure out the whole rapture
now,
thing.
Now
anyway.
I'm being condescending. Here's what I'm saying to you. This is to Glenn in Denver. Look, you know, just look at this as a test. I mean, that's really what it is. You know, I am a test, and I please pray for me and forgive me. But the jokes will continue. I apologize if we offend you. But I will say that not all born-again Christians are wackos. And I'm happy that you're voting for Kerry and that there's plenty of you on Kerry's side because you innately realize that even though Bush claims to be Christian in Acts, he is not. And And also, you know, Kerry needs you, no matter what, you know, what you're thinking. But, you know, obviously, you know, it's very hard for me to walk away from this now because, you know, the rapture to me is just insanity. Yeah, but, you know, primarily because we have people within the administration and also wacko born again Christians who are actually funneling money into creating a series of events that will make the rapture happen. And that to me is disturbing.
I don't understand something. If the rapture is an otherworldly thing, if this is something that is supposed to be triggered by God,
yeah.
How do people think that they, human beings, can do anything to make the rapture happen? Only God can do that, can't he?
Yeah, but you got a president that's saying he's God's guy, and you got people who are saying, you know, well, that this is what God wanted me to do. They're just interpreting the voices in their head as you know, being assigned by some greater entity to materialize this prophecy. Prophecy doesn't have to become fact, only because, you know, if it is prophecy, that doesn't mean you need to work towards it happening, because sometimes prophecies are really bad and negative, and they don't imply what they're supposed to imply. And they were put into the manifesto to begin with to scare people and give them an agenda. I mean, look, I don't want to go into this right now, but it's, you know, that.
Oh, you
that,
mean this isn't religious dogmata?
It's just, you know, some of it's insanity, but it's I'm not going to say that people are wackos. I mean, they got to be able to believe what you got to believe. Sometimes you got to put a dogmatic cap on that powder keg of panic so we don't walk around screaming all the time. And if this world isn't enough and you need to believe in another world for yourself to make you get through this one properly, I understand that. Everybody does it on some level somehow. So thank you for your letter. It obviously gets me excited and worked up. And, you know, again, you know, pray for me.
Amen.
That's all I'm saying. Help me out.
There you go.
So we've got a guest coming up in the next segment that is going to, you know, flesh out some stuff. Again, set the stage for us how things are going in Florida. She is down there reporting on voting problems on the campaign and how both sides, I guess, are coming at it. She's the Miami Herald reporter, Leslie Clark, and we will talk to her after this break. Good morning. I'm Mark Maron.
This year on election night, America will get some good news, some bad news, and some fake news. Watch Comedy Central's The Daily Show with Jon Stewart for live Indecision 2004 election night coverage.
I'm Jon Stewart. If you demand accurate projections, comprehensive updates, and in-depth analysis, you will be disappointed.
The Daily Show with Jon Stewart live in Decision 2004 election night coverage. Next Tuesday at 10, 9 Central on Comedy Central.
Don't forget, it's an hour early. You're going to forget, aren't you?
You can burn a few calories with this brain teaser from Cortislim. What do Stamford, Connecticut, Burbank, California, and the Cortislim lifestyle have in common? Here to tell us is Dr. Greg.
Well, the connection is that those cities each have a population of over 100,000 people. So, hypothetically, you might say that the entire population of, say, Abilene, Texas, not only ordered Cortislim one time, but ordered Cortislim again. And that doesn't surprise us at all, because over 100,000 reorders tells you that the Cortislim lifestyle, and that's managing everyday stress to create positive change, including your weight, along with proper diet, exercise, and Cortislim, well, it's working.
So when you hear that the number of customers who've reordered Cortislim is roughly equal to the entire population of Green Bay, ask yourself, wouldn't you be more comfortable stepping off the scale and into the Cortislim lifestyle this holiday season? It's as easy as calling 800-921-BURN, and you'll get $20 off two bottles of Cortislim. Call 800-921-BURN. That's 800-921-BURN.
Take a ghoulish ride with the ghosts of Halloween past each night this week on Sirius Radio Classics. Horror shows from the Fright Masters, Bela Lugosi, Boris Karloff, Vincent Price, and on Halloween Eve, it's Orson Welles' War of the Worlds. The classic War of the Worlds, Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern. Us, the Masters of Horror, each weeknight on a special Fright Fest. All this week on Sirius Radio Classics 133.
Is your child included in your activities? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. In our world today, it seems like we often segregate children from our daily living. We separate the kids from the adults at events we attend, in sports we play, at church, and at work. If we really want our children to learn from us, then it is absolutely necessary that they see us in our regular routine. We need to keep them joined at the hip. Let's teach our children life's lessons by including them when we do housework, yard work, run errands, and even at work when possible. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask about the apartment on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented. May I help you?
My name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available. Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim, call 800-669-9777. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Speak out on Sirius.
Get serious about your vote.
Yeah, this is Tom. In Missouri, the Bush administration has botched everything they've gotten their hands on, and they have got to go on November 2nd. Vote for John Kerry for president.
Hello, I'm Terry Dembowski. I'm from Ohio. I'm voting for Mr. Bush. President Bush has done a fine job for us. I'm a truck driver, and many of other truck drivers like myself are voting for Mr. Bush.
This is Ron from New Jersey, and this November 2nd, I'll be voting for John Kerry. George Bush must go. Anybody that sits there for 7 minutes after they've been told that our nation is under attack is not a good leader.
This is Tracy from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm a retired U.S. Navy veteran, so I encourage all the veterans to get out and vote for George W. Bush.
Tell us why this presidential election is important to you.
Call 1-877-33-SIRIUS and press 4.
To speak out on Sirius.
Your wake-up call. That flag doesn't belong to any president. It doesn't belong to any ideology. It doesn't belong to any party. It belongs to all the American people.
It's not enough, my brother, to say that you have faith when there are no deeds. I am running for president because it's time to turn words into deeds and faith into action. I see jobs that need to be created. I see families that need to be housed. I see violence that needs to be stopped. I see children that need to be taught and children who need to be cared for.
You don't value families by kicking kids out of after-school programs and taking cops off the streets. We believe in the family value of caring for our children and protecting the neighborhoods where they walk and they play.
We have an important message for those who question the patriotism of Americans who offer a better direction for our country. Before wrapping themselves in the flag and shutting their eyes to the truth, they should remember that when Americans stand up and say America can do better, it is the heart and soul of patriotism.
That's right, it's 18 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Here comes
the fire truck, John Kerry. It's going to take this thing. And I want to say to all those born-again Christians who are voting for Kerry and ones who aren't, I am lost and I'm okay with that. Okay? Pray for me.
But
that's
he loves
you.
He loves you, all of you.
Of course I do. I love all of you on a good day. On other days...
Not so much.
Sometimes a little irritating. On the more vulnerable, hypersensitive days... You know, one time I told you about that. I was walking through the Port of Authority, getting to a train, exuding a certain amount of sadness and existential fear and disappointment. And this little born-again Christian teenager comes up to me and gets right in my face, just glowing with the sheen of the recently hypnotized. And he says to me, he says, "Have you taken Jesus into your heart?" And there was a moment where I'm like, would that help? And how long would he have to stay in there? Like, if I felt better tomorrow, would I, you
could
know
he
what?
Leave then?
You know what? I'm just going to stay in my weird existential crisis because it fuels me. Here's my dream diary from last night. Thank God I dumped him on my therapist yesterday. I'm going to dump him on you now. I'm, of course, with my dead cat, Butch, and the four strays, and I'm about to go vote. I say, Butch, I'm worried. I hear there might be chaos at the polls. It could be goon squads. Butch says, do not worry, my friend, and my comrades. Do not worry, my friends. I and my comrades will protect you. While the strays secured their body armor, Butch shredded a piece of paper with one exquisitely sharpened claw. She sneers and says, in the words of our imbecile president, bring them on. So we all step outside into lightning and thunder, wolves howling, the sky is raining blood. On a steep hilltop to the is the high school gym, dark and forbidden. Giant bats are flying out of the windows, carrying away babies. Out of nowhere, a platoon of zombie goons lurch towards us, rotting, drooling, and wearing Bush Cheney buttons. And they chant in unison, you can't vote here. The elections aren't today. The school is closed. You can't vote here. The elections aren't today. The school is closed. Butch laughs and yells, it is you who are about to be closed, legions of stupidity. Come and taste the apocalypse, my good little consumers. Undead neocons rushed at her, but Butch slashed each of them wide open, chunks of shredded zombie flying everywhere, soaking her in rancid blood. She laughed in ecstasy and yelled, I have never felt so alive! I could make love for days drenched in zombie filth! Meanwhile, the four strays are busy ripping out zombie intestines and skipping rope with them. Fortunately, I brought my chainsaw, so after making a quick work of six of them, I sawed the head off one large zombie, hollowed him out, carved triangles for eyes, and put a candle inside to make the scariest Republican jack-o'-lantern ever. When the last of the zombies had been dismembered, we made our way to the gym. The silence was terrifying. The door creaked as we went in. Blocking the entrance to the polling booth was a hooded 8-foot warlock with aviator glasses. Cheney. He says, the polls may say it's tied, but you still have to get through me. Butch laughs and says, your time is finished, crap-stained pseudo-wizard. Come and take your lovely parting gifts. Butch and the strays leaped on Cheney, slashing furiously, ripping his robe into tatters, plucking out his eyeballs. The gym echoed with his screams. In about 2 minutes, the cats had reduced Cheney into a bloody pinata. The floor splattered with a yellowish ooze. I stepped over Cheney's bloody carcass, went into the booth, and voted for Kerry. It was a paper ballot, so I feel good about that. I woke up, and my bed was filled with medical waste. Viva la Butch.
Yeah.
Hey, here we go. We got a guest on the phone that's going to help us out with Florida and tell you how you can help. Joining us now is Leslie Clark. She's a reporter who's covering the presidential election for the Miami Herald. Welcome, Leslie. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
So how much time are the candidates spending in Florida? I mean, it seems like they're down there all the time.
It certainly does. Every time you turn around, they're here. And if they're not here, one of their surrogates is here. The wives have been here. The twins have been here. Everybody, but I think Arnold Schwarzenegger has been here.
He's not planning on coming, is he?
I haven't heard plans of it, but I wouldn't count him out.
Yeah, right. I think he's just going to be in Ohio. So what are the latest problems? We talked to Greg Palast the other day. We talked to somebody who actually went to vote in Florida. Some people said there's no problems. Others said there was a four-hour line. What's really going on, Leslie?
Oh, what's really going on is hard to figure out, but there's definitely claims of fraud, missing absentee ballots.
58,000, right?
Lines. Yeah.
Oh, my God. So what is it?
Those are ballots that haven't gone out yet to the voters. So the county is saying, we'll get them out to you, and you'll be able to get your votes back in on time.
Are they going to be able to? Because I couldn't understand that. And my wife asked me today, does that mean that because they registered as absentees and now it's coming this close, if they don't get their ballots, are they going to show up at voting places and say you registered now? Absentee, you can't vote twice. You don't know do you know what's going to happen with that?
No, I wouldn't want to predict it, but they say that they're going to be able to get most of the ballots out to the people who requested that.
Good.
But that's what they thought the first time around.
Oh.
Leslie, there seems to be some questions about whether more of the black vote is in play than people originally thought. There was a poll, I believe, done recently in Florida, said Bush was at 19%, at least in terms of black people leaning toward voting for him. Is that a real number? Could that many go, and could that end up tilting Florida toward Bush?
Well, I think you're referring to our poll that did find that found 19% of Bush. However, that's a subsample or a subset of a larger poll, so the number is the margin of error would be much larger. So the pollsters sort of cautioned us against reading too much into the number. However, it does give the Republicans a great deal of glee to see that number. And they have been working the black vote very assiduously, courting Haitian American voters in Miami, courting black voters up in Jacksonville, pushing the president's message of that, you know, he's a Christian and that, you know, is against gay marriage, things that really resound in some conservative black communities.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about the Hispanic vote, the Latino vote? Usually people cast that in terms of the Republican Cubans who live in South Florida, but there has been an influx of non-Cuban Hispanics into the state, has there not?
Yeah, absolutely. Right around here in the Orlando area, there's been a big influx of Puerto Ricans who tend to vote Democratic. And once again, there's a huge battle for their votes.
So,
with 537 votes last time, I think everybody thinks that if they can swing one small group one way, that, you know, there could be victory. Nobody wants to take anything for granted.
What about these still people? These people are still claiming to be undecided. What are they looking for? Parenting? What do they need? You know, I mean, what are they undecided about? What
know.
Do they expect? You don't know?
No, I haven't sat in on any undecided. But the polls do show, I mean, that people are sort of, I think maybe the undecided, this might be taking too much out of the polls, but the polls show that while people might not like what's happening with the war, and the president's popularity rating is only at about 50%, they are sort of uneasy about changing course at this point, and they still have unanswered questions about Senator Kerry.
So they're frightened that people, they're frightened to change course in the middle of a war, primarily is what you're saying.
Right, and I don't think they feel that Kerry's made the sales job for them.
So, in other words, they're afraid.
One could say that.
Leslie Clark, turnout. We've been hearing for some time that turnout is going to eventually determine the result of this election. Who do you see being better prepared to bring their voters to the polls in Florida on Tuesday?
Well, historically, the Republicans here in Florida have had a terrific machine in terms of just effectiveness and getting out the turnout, getting their people to vote absentee, you know, and just making sure that every Republican voter heads to the polls. The Democrats this year have sort of realized that, and they're putting a huge emphasis on turnout. They've been pushing early voting, which we've been able to vote here in Florida since October 18th. And they've been pushing early voting since about 2 weeks before the early voting campaign opened. John Kerry appeared the first day for early voting, October 18th, in West Palm Beach at a rally with a bank of vans lined up behind him at a huge retirement community down in West Palm Beach.
Wow, so they're actually driving people to the polls.
Oh, yeah. They I think somebody called it, it's called like knock and drag. They knock on your door and drag you to the polls.
But I guess on that day they were actually able to say, meet John Kerry, he'll drive you to the polls.
Right.
That's a pretty good sales pitch.
Is any of the Alcacost stuff sticking down there? I mean, are people talking about that? Is that something that might end up making a difference between now and Tuesday?
I think anything could make a difference between now and Tuesday. I mean, I think obviously the Kerry campaign is here in Florida today, and they're going to be talking that up along with the Halliburton stuff. And, you know, with a small number, I mean, there is still a small number of undecided. So, and
yeah,
all the polls show them in a dead heat with, you know, the undecided, or Ralph Nader could be a factor.
Well, you know what? Thank you very much. It's been great talking to you, very informative. I appreciate you being here, Leslie Clark, and we'll talk to you maybe after the election.
Okay, that's
all
great.
Right. Okay. Thanks a lot, Leslie.
So that was interesting. Why don't you call us at 866-303-2270 and give us your report from the battleground states, you know, if you're in Florida, if you're any of the other battleground states.
Florida, Ohio, we got people that listen to us in Columbus. We got people that listen to us in Wisconsin, out in Madison. Give us a call, 866-303-2270, 866-303-2270, when we come back here on Air America Radio.
Want to add your 2 cents? Give us a call at 866-303-2270 and give us your best shot.
Hi, this is Al Frank, and I care about who's elected president on November 2nd. And it's never been more important who we choose for the future of America. So listen up. Right now, the polls in the Buckeye State show a deadlock, and the fact of the matter is, it's all going to come down to the ground game and who wants it more. You know, Paul Wellstone used to say that the future belongs to those who are passionate and work hard. Well, the future is in your hands, and I'm asking you to be passionate and work hard by contributing your time and money to the Ohio Democratic Party. Go to OhioDems.org. OhioDems.org. That's not hard to remember, is it? OhioDems.org. You know, sometimes we tell ourselves to save money for a rainy day. This is it. This is that rainy day. We can't let these people take this country in the wrong direction for four more years. Do yourself, your children, your country a favor. Volunteer or write a check by going to OhioDems.org.
This ad is paid for by the Ohio Democratic Party, Dennis White Chair.
Jim Brewer is now on Sirius Raw Dog 147 5 days a week.
He won't leave.
And we're very excited about it.
We let him do one show as a favor.
Now you've got Brewer 5 days a week.
And he just started showing up every day.
Jim Brewer.
He brought a sleeping bag.
Monday through Friday.
Now he sleeps here.
Sirius Raw Dog 147.
That was 6 months ago.
Hey, Jim.
Oh, hey, Jim. Huh, I'll see you there. Oh, no, thanks. I'm cool. Right on. Jim Brewer. Every day, 4 p.m. Eastern, every week, forever.
Oh, God.
Starting Monday on Raw Dog.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Tanya emails wanting to know what I think of home warranties. I'll tell her after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Tanya emails with a home warranty question. How do you feel about home warranties like Home Shield? Listen, let's talk about all kinds of warranties. Extended warranties on cars, home warranties, prepaid legal, any kind of insurance like that. Let's think about it. If we were to sell 1,000 people that $300 item, that would be $300,000 of income that we had, right? If we owned the insurance company, you and I owned Home Shield, that means if we sold 1,000 people that, we'd have $300,000 of income. Now, what would our expenses be? All the things that the 1,000 people turned in that broke on their homes. Now, you can bet, since this is an insurance company, that they have done a statistical analysis, and they know that that's going to be well less than $300,000, can't you? So why don't you just get in the insurance business on extended warranties and self-insure through these things with Grandma's Rainy Day Fund, and then you get to put all the marketing budget and the profit and all those things in your pocket. There's a plan.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
I heard about this company dumping toxins in local rivers, and I called their executives to say stop, but I never got through to anyone except secretary after secretary. In the meantime, the rivers are being destroyed, birds and fish are dying, and the local kids are getting sick with cancer. So I organized a huge protest, and we actually got the company shut down. And everyone starts celebrating until we realize that half the town's now unemployed. The welfare offices can barely handle the overload. People are being kicked out of their homes. And to top it all off, the rivers are still contaminated. The birds and fish are still dying. And most of the kids with cancer are twice as sick because they can't get the health care they need since their parents lost the health insurance they had when they worked for the company that dumped all the toxins in the first place.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Close your eyes and imagine you're on an unspoiled beach. Sunlight streaming through the palm leaves. A paradise like this isn't easy to come by, but it does still exist. Because the Nature Conservancy works locally to save precious places around the world forever. That way, closing your eyes will never be the only way to get there. Help save the last great places. Visit the Nature Conservancy at nature.org.
Hi, I'm Joe Perry.
I'm Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, here for RAD. Recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Yeah, you know we love it when the music does the talking.
And you know, the music stops when someone gets killed.
So never, 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 never let someone you know get behind the wheel if they've been drinking. So keep it real, keep it real. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning. You're a wonderful audience.
You are. Nice to have you. Morning's edition. I will be in front of a wonderful audience later tonight at Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco.
www.copscomedyclub.com for a big show with me, Will Durst, Kevin Rooney, Jim Short, David Feldman. It's the Stand Up For Your Rights Part 2. Big audience participation panel afterwards. It's going to be a good time. Right now, I'd like to say, since our president is openly operating in a different reality, we think it's important that voters know what's happening in his alternative in his alternate universe. Luckily, we know someone from that world. And once again, joining us now on the phone from Planet Bush is correspondent Lawton Smalls. Good morning, Mr. Smalls.
Good morning, Mark. God got you in a chokehold, and he's squeezing the glory out of you.
All right, okay. All right, buddy. So today's issue is the situation in Iraq.
Iraq, absolutely. Well, I'm glad, for once, you've chosen a topic we can all be positive about.
What are you talking about?
I don't know anyone who's wandered into the glorious modern Iraq who would say anything but, America, I love what you've done with this place.
Are you out of your mind? Are you out of your mind?
Stop
that. Stop. All right, we're not going to. Okay, Lawton, didn't you hear about the 380 tons of missing explosives? Didn't you hear that?
Mark,
what?
Don't go there. Those explosives were missing from that site long before the Iraq War ever started. Hey, those explosives were taken by communists during the Vietnam War.
What are you, crazy?
The Viet Cong
gave
those to John Kerry, who used them to blow up anyone who tried to reveal he was lying about his swift
boat. Whoa, that is crazy.
Liberal.
Are you, stop that.
Liberal.
Are you sticking to that story? The Bush administration seems, the Bush administration seems to change their account what happened every day. Every day is different.
You know, I wouldn't do that, Mark.
What?
Right? That's not why we play the game, but I remember, there's another explanation. Yeah. As you know, when the coalition forces rolled into Iraq, the Iraqi people wanted to express their gratitude by giving us flowers and candy.
What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like that happened. I mean,
Okay. The Iraqis didn't have the ingredients for candy.
That is
so
crazy.
They looted El Kaka, mistaking those weapons for flour, sugar, and butter to make us candy.
What are you, crazy?
It's a sad story, really. So, human, not like you'd understand.
They
wanted to make us a gift.
Stop it. Are you saying that the Iraqis are dumb? Are you saying they're not bright?
How dare you make irresponsible charges and denigrate the actions of our troops in the field? No,
Stop it. Listen to me. Isn't that exactly what Rudy Giuliani did? Did you listen to that soundbite?
Mm-hmm.
He just said that none of this is Bush's fault and that we should blame everything on our troops. And isn't that exactly what Bush is trying to accuse Kerry of? I mean, come on.
Hero. Well, that's right. And the fact that Mayor Giuliani, a hero, would say something in reality that John Kerry, a traitor, might say in theory, just proves to me that Senator Kerry's not fit to be commander-in-chief.
Oh, I can't stand
it. You've got to admit yourself to what I'm saying here.
I can't stand the way you talk. Iraq's a nightmare, and you know it. The truth is inside of you, Smalls. The truth is inside of you, Smalls. Let it out. Let it out, Lawton. You know you're bitter, and you know you're screwed up. I know you do. I know it. Bring it.
I will not cry for you.
I will not bring it.
Democracy.
Bring it.
I won't cry for you.
Bring it.
I will not cry for
you. What do you got in there, little man?
I will not cry for you.
Yeah.
You'll be foul. You'll be great. God, I will not wait. Back here. Everything's coming up.
That's it. Let it out. That's it. There you go. Let me feel better. See what's in there? There's a little thespian, a little musical star waiting to happen, Lawton. Let it out.
You wouldn't let me sing.
There you go. See?
I hate it when I sing.
See how much better you feel? This is cathartic. Okay, so you'll vote for Kerry. That's great. I think that's great. And you found a little something out about yourself.
Four more days? Four more.
Oh, no. You can't turn it around like that. We had a great
day. Everything's coming up roses.
Thank you. Thank you, Lawton. Thank you very much. Very nice to talk to you, and have a good day. Okay, here we go. What happened to that caller? Okay. Hey, Bob in Miami. How are you, Bob?
What's up,
Bob? I'm doing great. That's a really hard act to follow. We love you guys.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm a traveling organizer for Kerry. Been down in Miami for a little over a month.
Uh-huh.
And Air America is helping to keep me going from
site
to site.
Good.
We just had the Aventura Library open up for early voting.
Uh-huh.
About 150 people are in line to vote.
Uh-huh.
Some of them haven't voted in 20 years.
Wow.
And it's amazing. We've got people helping them. You know, if they need a provisional ballot, we haven't had too many of those. People are very, very determined to come. And they're coming in wheelchairs and everything else.
Are they excited?
We have, We have curbside voting, so some of the handicapped can vote from their car.
How does that work? Oh, that's excellent.
They bring out a portable machine to give them, they just go into the window with the machine and they activate it and they watch them vote.
Oh, that's great.
They go to the next car.
And what are you feeling
in Florida?
In the retirement community, who are they leaning towards from where you're sitting?
Oh, overwhelmingly for Kerry. They want to have their Social Security privatized.
Right.
But I'm going down to a Haitian neighborhood now to another site, and it's like 95% for Kerry. They start chanting for Kerry. You know, they're going to go to the rally tonight. John's going to be down here at Bayfront Park.
That's great. That's,
and,
you know, Bob,
we're really excited. We're starting the victory party early down here. We're just
trying
to get, we got 25% of the electorate has voted. We have 1 million voters all together registered. 250,000, we think, have either voted early or by absentee as of this morning.
That's awesome.
Four days to go.
That
is
awesome.
We're getting ready for the final push. We got our walk list ready to go door to door this weekend. And we're pumped.
We're
going to carry Florida.
Bob, you're doing the big work, and we certainly appreciate it. It's great to hear somebody out in the field really, you know, taking the time and dedicating part of their life to this very important thing, and we thank you.
I couldn't live with myself if we didn't.
Okay,
all right,
thanks,
Bob.
Again, guys.
Thank you, Bob.
Sign off.
Okay, bye bye.
Wow.
We got Larry in Delray, Florida. How are you?
I'm fine, and I'd like to correct some of the misunderstandings you guys are putting out there.
Mm-hmm.
But one clarification, that small guy who I admit I don't know, he almost makes me want to go away from President Bush, except that the only place to go is a place that the organ guy needs, the heart, is Kerry.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. I did Haitian TV last night for broadcast tomorrow. The Haitian community is not overwhelmingly for anyone other than the president.
Yeah, well, I don't know. You're just contradicting what the other guy said. And, I mean, what's your credibility?
I know that. Well, I went down and I did Haitian TV and I listened to what they had to say.
So your credibility is on Haitian TV.
But let me tell you something.
Yes.
I came down the first day of voting I live in Boynton Beach, and I came down to the county elections office in Delray.
Uh-huh.
There wasn't a Bush lawyer here. There was a Kerry lawyer.
Uh-huh.
I had a couple of questions. I was turning in an absentee ballot.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't like the answers. I'm an attorney in New York. I've been living down here for 4 years.
Uh-huh.
2 years ago, open heart surgery, so I really haven't been doing a whole lot.
Right.
And I didn't like the answer, so I asked to be an observer
to
the elections board, and they approved me, and then the party found out about me. And I've been here 10 to 12 hours a day, every day since.
At Boynton Beach?
I live in Boynton, but I'm in the South Delaware office on Congress Avenue.
And you're a poll watcher. So what are you seeing over there?
Right. First of all, I'm seeing every day bigger crowds, anywhere from 2.5, 3 to 4 hours, all day long, Saturdays and Sundays.
Uh-huh.
But I have been nearly hit 3 or 4 times.
Uh-huh.
I'm being lied about on a daily basis by Democrats.
Uh-huh. It's weird when it comes back your way, isn't it?
Yeah. Different,
no,
huh?
Please. I've had one Republican who's a little overboard in, you know, the proper area.
Uh-huh.
And
in the proper area. It's sort of
a
bias there.
No, there's a rope to off area.
Uh-huh.
We're not supposed to approach like the Dems are doing the old people as they get right off.
Uh-huh.
Complaints about that.
Uh-huh.
But I want to do something objective for you guys.
You've really established yourself as an objective person.
No. I'll let you decide. How's that?
Well, all right.
Okay.
You asked about absentee ballots before and whether somebody, if there was a problem with the mails or the offices.
58,000 missing absentee ballots, yes.
No, I want to tell you, and I want to assure you, because I've dealt with this problem every day.
Okay.
They will vote.
Okay.
What they do is go to their local polling place.
Okay.
Stand on the same line.
Yes.
And they will allow them to vote.
Oh, good.
The only qualification is that if the records reflect that they were sent one, some reflect that they came back, some not.
Okay.
They're putting them into the files to just double check and make sure there aren't two votes.
Okay, well, thanks, Larry. We'll double check on it.
Everybody votes.
Okay, beautiful.
That's fantastic.
Even though we don't agree with him, he did give us some good information that if your absentee ballot was returned to them, they should have an updated list, but you know how far it is in lists, but hopefully that's true.
And that Haitian TV thing, don't bet the store that they're all going for Bush.
So you know what time it is now? Are we doing that now? We're doing it now.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
Woo!
time for Mark Riley's Dog of the Week.
Well, as Otis Day once said, here tis.
Mm-hmm.
The use of surrogates in political campaigns can be an iffy proposition. Every now and then, they stray off message, saying something that ends up hurting rather than helping.
Mm-hmm.
Such is the case with former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani. He's on the stump for Bush Cheney, but America's mayor stuck his foot in it big time. In trying to, surprise, deflect blame away from the administration's handling of explosives at Al-Qaqa in Iraq, Giuliani put the blame in exactly the wrong place. He told the Today Show the disappearance of that ordnance was the fault of the troops on the ground.
Yeah.
Quote, did they search carefully enough, unquote, says Rudy, and so slaps the collective face of the U.S. military. That would be the same military the Bush-Cheney campaign uses in so many of its ads, the military Bush says he supports. Some military families aren't buying Giuliani's blame dispersal. One veteran whose son is in the military says it's another instance of scapegoating the troops for the administration's failures. Sounds right to us. Hey, Rudy, you were overrated as mayor of New York, and your dissing of the troops comes as no surprise to those who know you well. That's why, Rudy Giuliani, you are the morning sedition Dog of the Week.
Yes, we will be back to talk to a journalist, Dan Weiss from Ohio, about what's going on there. So stay with us here on Air America Radio.
Hi, this is Al Franken, the host of the Al Franken Show on Air America Radio. For the last 6 months, we've been doing 3 hours a day of cutting-edge radio programming. We've had guests like Bill Clinton, John Kerry, and Strom Thurmond.
Yeah, Pekka. It knows no bigotry.
We've covered events like the handover of power in Iraq. We've explained difficult concepts like the growing national debt using nothing more than an ordinary slide whistle. Now we're presenting our show in a convenient, easy-to-use, one-hour version every night on Sundance Channel. Finally, you'll be able to see what we're talking about. Right, Strom?
That's right. Yippee! I'm going on TV.
Tune in every night at 11:30 on Sundance Channel for the Al Franken Show. And if you don't get Sundance Channel, go to their website, sundancechannel.com. Al and Sundance Channel. Together again.
Hi, do you care about the environment and America's energy future? Now there's a new way you can take action. You can fight global warming and promote energy independence with Native Energy's Wind Builders program. You can offset the impact of your energy use, your home, your business, even your car, wherever you live, work, or learn. Sign up for Wind Builders and help build new wind farms that'll reduce global warming pollution. Join thousands of individuals and leading brands like Ben & Jerry's, Clif Bar, and Aveda, and favorite bands like REM and Dave Matthews Band, who are already fighting global warming with Native Energy. Join them and help build a new Native American wind farm for just pennies a day. Click the Native Energy button on AirAmericaRadio.com or call 800-924-6826. That's 800-924-6826, or click the Native Energy button on AirAmericaRadio.com. Help build a new Native American wind farm and fight global warming with Native Energy.
Hi, it's Lynn Samuels. Ooh, it's that scary time of year. All the pranksters are out throwing eggs, playing tricks on each other. I get chills even thinking about it. No, I'm not talking about Halloween. I'm talking about the... Republicans! And the chance that scary George W. Bush can get back in office.
Election night coverage featuring Lynn Samuels from her living room on Sirius Left 143.
How are you at hellos and goodbyes? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. The way we greet our spouse and the way we tell them goodbye can really set the tone for the whole day or evening. So try to practice these three steps to a great hi and bye. 1. Make eye contact so they'll feel like they have your attention. Next, include some physical affection, a kiss or a hug. And finally, keep your words pleasant. It's not the time for complaints or controversy. Make your hellos and goodbyes meaningful. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300 That's 1-800-956-8300.
AIDS has killed nearly 6 million children worldwide. That's more than every child in every preschool, grade school, and high school in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. TV personality Luke Perry.
All right, I got a little pop quiz for you. It's about me. What was my zip code? What city was it in? Name three kids I hung out with in the lunchroom. Name three kids your child hangs out with in the lunchroom.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum. 51 past the hour, Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
The one thing our surprise conservative caller didn't really flesh out was that, you know, if you weren't sent an absentee ballot that you were expecting, you can still go vote if you're in the state. Who the hell knows how many of that 58,000 are out of state, and what are they going to do? Well, there's the opening bell, and that means it's time for the morning Sedition Friday Business Report. Good morning, investors. November 2nd is nearly upon us, and that means you may only have three more days to plumb the great unmet needs of the American consumer. Now, you're probably aware that every election brings with it the usual amount of human degradation, humiliation, and shame, but did you also know it heralds exciting new business opportunities as well? That's where the College Republican National Committee comes in. So far this year, it has raised over $6.3 million from rich senior citizens who were told they were contributing to George W. Bush's re-election campaign. But get this, they really weren't. That's called theft in the real world. Thank goodness the world of business is not the real world. Otherwise, we never would have seen the likes of Karl Rove, Grover Norquist, and Ralph Reed, whose careers were launched by this committee. My friends, this is my message. There's probably never been a better time to become a Republican fundraiser. The next 3 days can make you rich beyond your wildest dreams. For as we all know, there's nobody more gullible than greedy old conservatives. Remember your grandmother? Remember that time you convinced her she could help get Proposition 13 passed if she would just give you her car? What a schlub. So get on those phones. There are a lot of rich, lonely old people out there who resent the poor. Feed off that. This has been the Morning Sedition Friday Business Report.
Proposition 13.
I did that kind of like Kent. Kent the Colonel Jones.
There you go.
He's got that contagious diction when he does the news for the unfiltered folk. There we go. Right now, on the phone from Ohio, he's a State House reporter for the Ohio News Network. Dan Wiest, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
How you doing?
So why is Ohio a hotly contested state? What makes it so unique, Dan?
Well, it's got a nice combination of things between demographics and the way the state is kind of set up in terms of its business and demographics. You know, there's a number of eight urban cities, yet agribusiness is kind of the number one economical driver in the state. So it's a combination of city and country factors that kind of balances the state.
Uh-huh.
That's one reason, at least.
Uh-huh. How's it leaning? How's it looking? What's going on up there?
Well, I would be the real boss here if I could pick a winner here. I'd be a rich political consultant. But, you know, most of the polls that we have been following, the polling roundup sites, most are saying it two ways, and you can look at it either way. First off, you could say it's a dead heat. Most of the Ohio polling is within a couple of points for Kerry at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know, considering traditional margin of error, that's That's the margin of litigation, as the secretary
said. I never heard that one.
Likes to say.
Yeah. Dan, we've seen an awful lot of litigation. We've seen challenges withdrawn, challenges thrown out. And some of the focus has turned on the Secretary of State, J. Kenneth Blackwell, who I saw on TV just yesterday on the national news, probably the first Secretary of State outside of Colin Powell to be in the national news. How is Secretary of State Blackwell holding up to all this, and has he become the polarizing figure that he appears in terms of people's right to vote?
Now, he certainly is a central figure in many ways, at least to a lot of people's eyes in this state. He was on both Hardball and with Judy Woodruff yesterday on CNN, so he did make the circuit yesterday in both places. I think I saw part of a CNN interview, and it was he was excited, let's put it that way, in that interview, and it's particularly because of the way people are saying, is Ohio the next Florida? But yes, he I didn't hear your Florida. Was your Florida person on this morning? I'm not sure if that's an insult or a compliment.
We've had a little of both this morning from Florida.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. I guess most people here would not call it a compliment, but I will not insult the great state of Florida at this point. But, yes, Secretary Blackwell is certainly a central figure. He is a bit of a political maverick at the state level, but among the Republicans at least, but he has been a staunch supporter of the president.
So which areas seem to be stable, and what areas aren't, and why?
Well, traditionally, the northern part of the state is Democratic, and the central state is sort of central part of the state is swing, and the south and southwest is seen as more Republican. Southeast would, you might normally think it was a Republican area, but it was hit hard economically, so that's a big issue there.
Right.
You know how that plays out. The western part of the state, the Dayton area is sort of seen normally as Republican, but it's close there. Again, economic issues might be playing out there. You know, and the war on terrorism is big in that neighborhood too.
Okay, so now, have there been any shenanigans? Any people, have you spoken to any voters who have had their eligibility challenged or any sort of other problems in the polling so far?
Yeah, certainly. Like a lot of the states that are the battleground states, they've been watched where every move has been just highly scrutinized by every lawyer available in, you know, Ohio and east of the Rockies.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the Republican Party held a press conference in the last 2 weeks where they pulled out what they say were registrations from dead people and for, Mary Poppins. And so, yes, there have been reports of bogus registrations at this point, and that was part of the reason that the state Republican Party decided to challenge a whole bunch of new registrations.
Now, they challenged a couple of Republican registrations, didn't they?
Well, you can't, in this state, you can't tell from the public records what party people are are from or where they registered or who they're with, so you can only, what they did was, is they asked for the copy of all the new registrations, and which don't have a party affiliation. They simply sent out a letter, they said, to 35,000 new registrants and said, hi, you know, please vote Republican. Well, they had actually they sent out more than that, but they got 35,000 back that said unreturned or, you know, couldn't deliverable, non-deliverable.
Right.
They took that as a sign of fraud, since there was all these people who signed up should have been their new address, and yet it comes back undeliverable. So that's why they filed. That was the basis of their latest challenge. Well, it's actually not their latest challenge. There's been a new one yesterday.
Oh, really?
Incredible.
So it's going to be a rough few days for you, man.
Well, we figure in Ohio here, election laws are like the old joke about the weather. Just wait 20 minutes. And it's probably going to change.
Well, thanks for joining us, Dan. It's really great to talk to you. You take care and, stay on top of things over there.
You bet.
Okay, man.
All right, take care,
State House reporter for the Ohio News Network, Dan Wiest.
Well, you know what we got coming up next hour, Mark Maron.
Krugman, dude.
Yeah, man, Paul Krugman. Man who takes no prisoners. Yeah, tells the truth.
It's going to be good.
And we got phone calls, too. We're going to talk to our audience.
Beautiful.
Liberals, conservatives.
Perfect.
The whole nine.
We'll see you in a minute or two.
Air America Radio.
Big Brothers Big Sisters presents 100 Years of Helping Kids.
Today, Tyler's big brother, Justin.
Hello.
Hi.
Are here to share some stuff we've learned.
With kids, it's not always what you say, but how you say it.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Nah, that's boring.
Okay.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
From time to time, a kid may double dare you.
Wow, that looks heavy. Bet you can't lift it.
Are you serious?
I double dare you.
Okay.
See? I told you. Uh-oh.
Moments like these happen every day.
Making a big difference in the life of a child. To find out the many ways you can help support kids in your community, call 1-888-412-BIGS or go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
This message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Until next time.
Uncensored.
Uncensored.
Uncut.
Uncut.
Satellite Fresh.
Satellite Fresh.
Serious. In the on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next president of the United States, John Kerry.
Some 80,000 people turned out to see John Kerry yesterday in Wisconsin. It was just the kind of photo op his campaign wants, with the election just around the corner. You heard the voice of rocker Bruce Springsteen introduce the presidential candidate before one of the state's largest political gatherings in its history. Springsteen was Kerry's opening act, and there was no question that he hit a responsive chord within all who attended the event. Here's the boss outlining what's at stake on Election Day.
He's shown us starting as a young man that by facing America's hard truths, both the good and the bad, that's where we find a deeper patriotism. That's where we find a more complete view of who we are. That's where we find a more authentic experience as citizens. And that's where we find the power that is embedded only in truth to make our world a better and a safer place.
Rocker Bruce Springsteen at the site of yesterday's 80,000-plus turnout to support the candidacy of John Kerry. The event was only rivaled by the 125,000 turnout for John Kerry in Philadelphia early this week when he was joined by ex-President Bill Clinton. In other news, Big Brother will certainly be watching on Election Day. U.S. Justice Department, under the leadership of the nation's top cop, John Ashcroft, is preparing to send out poll watchers three times the amount they had on Election Day, the 2000 presidential contest. The department has assigned some to Florida and other closely contested states in the presidential election. 1,000-plus observers and monitors will be on duty in at least 86 locations in 25 states Tuesday. The best way to determine the difference is to cite the figure from 2,000, which was only 317. It took some 36 days to settle the contest after the vote when the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that Bush had won the state of Florida. NAACP plans on responding publicly to a notice it received from an Internal Revenue Service this morning, challenging its tax-exempt status. Nation's oldest civil rights organization is charging the Republican Party with staging a dirty trick, timed to coincide with the impending election. Organization was cited because its president, Julian Bond, has been known to make several sharp attacks on the Bush White House during fundraising events in the past year. Organization's head, Kwesi Mfume, is asking why this and why now. He thinks it's part of an attempt to suppress the black vote. Feds have launched their probe into whether the Pentagon improperly awarded no-bid contracts to Halliburton Company, seeking an interview with a top Army contracting officer and collecting documents from several government offices. Focus of the investigation expands on one earlier by the FBI into whether Halliburton overcharged taxpayers for fuel in Iraq. Probe also elevates the question in this election year of whether the Bush White House showed favoritism to Vice President Dick Cheney. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
It's coming down to the wire. We're just days away from completing our quest for a better America. Join us for live extended coverage on election night with the team from Sirius Left 143, Air America Radio 144, and Sirius LQ 149. All the election returns, correspondents from around the country,
and your phone calls
all night long. It's your election coverage your way.
This is Earth and Sky. In West Virginia and Kentucky, mining companies sometimes blast the tops off of mountains to get at coal.
One typical mountaintop removal mine might destroy thousands of acres of forest.
Petra Wood is a wildlife biologist with the U.S. Geological Survey in West Virginia. She and her graduate students surveyed sites where mining has occurred to determine its effect on bird populations. Typically, mining companies plant grasslands where mining has destroyed the forest. In these conditions, Wood's team found that forest songbirds, such as the cerulean warbler, disappear.
Birds that prefer grasslands, such as the grasshopper sparrow, do move into the new habitats. But Wood says it isn't an even trade-off because cerulean warbler populations are already declining. And about half the warbler's core range overlaps with prime mountaintop mining sites.
So is it something we really should be doing as far as managing for a species that normally doesn't occur here in West Virginia in great numbers at the expense of forest species that basically their highest populations are occurring here?
Now Wood wants to map out how many birds live in areas likely to be mined to predict how many birds might be lost if mountaintop mining continues. Special thanks to the National Science Foundation, where discoveries begin. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher, Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. 6. Name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school and know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Mark Maron at 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, ineffectual intellectuals, all of you. Have you been informatized or misinformatized? Is the truth just another entertainment option? Is it something you have to look for? Absolutely. That's what we do here every day. We are here to help in the deposing of the arrogant, smug, belligerent, fake Christian blow monkey puppet of the Cheney regime's neocon death cult. We are here to aid in that.
He really means it.
Oh, Mark Riley, good morning to you, my friend.
Good morning, man. You're getting ready to make this cross-country flight. You're going to be working at Cobb's Comedy Club this evening in San Francisco.
That's crazy.
Is that North Beach? Is that where that's at?
It's on Columbus. It's near North Beach. The old Cobb's Comedy Club is in North Beach, right in the wharf there in the cannery. This one's down on Columbus. It's a much bigger space. Hopefully we'll have a good crowd. I talked to my buddy Jim Short last night. He said the show last night was a good time.
Yeah.
It'll be fun. Durst is always fun. Kevin Rooney, Will Durst is a guy I'm working with over at Cops. He's one of the only one. Club.com. If you want to come, there are two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow. Durst is a classic political humorist. He's one of the only ones around who does the hardcore political comedy, has been for years, always funny.
Really?
Yeah, and in these situations, he's always very on point and on the mark. Kevin Rooney was a writer for Dennis Miller back when Dennis Miller was...
Dennis Miller.
But even then, I didn't love him. But Rooney is some guy who I saw...
Is there any comic you loved back when they were Dennis Miller?
Yeah, sure. There's a lot of comics I love. Like a lot of my friends. Todd Barry I like. Pryor I like.
Okay,
I like a lot of the class. David Tell, Dave Chappelle. There's a lot of comics I really like. You know, but Dennis Miller just... I always thought he was really just an eloquent name caller. A fraud all along.
Ah.
No, he did have some good names to call people. But Rooney wrote for him back in the day, and Rooney was a comic that I saw back years ago when he did a lot of stand-up. Always very funny, very sardonic, very bright guy. David Feldman, hilarious, also wrote for Miller back when Miller was Miller, now writes for Bill Maher. I actually tried to get Feldman on the air once to talk about Dennis Miller's shift from the Dennis Miller we knew to whatever he is now.
The right-wing geek boy.
Wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. He was sticking by the brotherhood, that
really?
We don't need to go on air and talk about each other. And I respect that, though it upset me, because it was in the early days of Morning Sedition. I was like, come on, man, we won't have to identify you. And I kept begging him on email, and he says, I got no time for this crap. Leave me alone. So
wow.
I don't even know if he's mad at me, actually. But he is very funny. And again, CobbsComedyClub.com, if you're interested, two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow night. Yeah, I'm going to run out of here and fly away. Got Pashman, Son of Lewis, and Lyndon Pashman doing me a favor. Give me a huge old egg sandwich. Stuff my face because, I'm not going to say what airline I'm flying on, but...
they don't feed you.
None of them do hardly anymore.
Not even in first class?
Oh, yeah, first class. Is
first class. Business first class, class, maybe you get, like, what, a
first class, they
sandwich?
They actually have bunk beds in first class. There's sleeping quarters, there's dancers. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
You get private... Okay, we're babbling on. Why don't they talk about the issues?
Oh.
We're fighting for our lives here. I don't care about this Marin kid going on an airplane. Well, how about this, mister in my head? Here's the 10 reasons for today that George W. Bush must go. Must go. This is 90. This is the 10 that makes it 90. Number one, on Iraq, he threatened to veto the $87 billion war budget authorization if it wasn't in the form he wanted, then criticized John Kerry for doing the same thing.
Number two, on diplomacy, he failed to convince NATO allies that invading Iraq was important, leaving U.S. troops to bear 90% of the burden.
Number three, on Social Security, he depleted the Social Security Trust Fund surplus, despite making a campaign promise to not touch it.
Number four, on government spending, he promised to, quote, attack pork barrel spending, unquote, but has not vetoed a single bill while in office, despite the enormous amount of pork that has crossed his desk.
Number five, on taxes, he told the American people, quote, the vast majority of my tax cuts goes to the bottom end of the spectrum, unquote, while the top 20% of earners received 70% of those tax cuts.
Number six, on conflicts of interest, he appointed James Baker to seek forgiveness of Iraqi debt, despite Baker's business ties to companies that are opposed to Iraqi debt forgiveness.
Number seven, on health care, he never established the Healthy Communities Innovation Fund, which would have provided grant money to health care programs, as he promised in his 2000 campaign.
Number eight, on public safety, despite claiming to support it, he allowed the federal law banning the sale of semi-automatic assault weapons to lapse 10 years after the law was implemented and effectively reduced gun-related violent crimes.
Number nine, on first responders, he cut grants to the nation's police and fire departments by nearly $1 billion in the fiscal year 2005 budget.
And number 10, on job creation, he lost a net total of 833,000 jobs since taking office in 2001, becoming the first president since Herbert Hoover not to create any new jobs.
I was wrong. That's actually 100 different reasons that we've given you to give George Bush the boot. They're all on Morning Sedition. Our guest after this break is going to have his own reasons, and you may know him. He's Paul Krugman. He's the New York Times op-ed columnist, and he's one of the best, and he's going to be with us after this. It's 12 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Fahrenheit 9/11. The studios refused to release it. The Republicans tried to stop it, but America needed to see it. Tonight, watch the IFC special, Fahrenheit 9/11, A Movement in Time, and find out how Michael Moore's little documentary went from Hollywood outcast to cultural phenomenon and became the most talked about film of the year. IFC presents Fahrenheit 9/11, A Movement in Time, tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific, only on the Independent Film Channel. IFC goes behind the scenes and gets into the controversy, featuring exclusive interviews with Michael Moore, Tim Robbins, Michael Stipe, and others. You've seen the movie, now get the inside story. See how the film no one wanted to touch became the record-breaking, highest-grossing documentary of all time. It's the last Friday before Election Day. Make it count. Watch Fahrenheit 9/11, A Movement in Time, uninterrupted and totally commercial-free. Tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific, only on IFC, the Independent Film Channel. Don't have IFC? Go to ifctv.com and get it.
Planet Challenge. Planet Challenge. ahead, Shaq.
Part of the fun of going to the ballpark is downing a cold beer and hot dog.
Pigs are filthy animals. I'll eat filthy animals.
Now there's a healthy, meat-free alternative good for you and the planet.
There are vegetarians. There are people with cultural inclinations toward a plant-based diet.
Thanks to Soy Happy, a consumer advocacy group that promotes healthy eating, baseball fans can nosh on veggie dogs guilt-free.
Providing vegetarian alternatives in mainstream venues is a good idea. It not only benefits people in terms of their health, but it also benefits animals and it benefits the environment.
Johanna McCloy, founder of Soy Happy, has hit a home run with 11 major league parks serving the soy dogs.
Surprisingly, the Chicago White Sox responded right away, and they've been selling them ever since.
He's greener. He's a veggie wiener. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Cliff Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
Hi, it's Lynn Samuels. Ooh, it's that scary time of year. All the pranksters are out throwing eggs, playing tricks on each other. I get chills even thinking about it. No, I'm not talking about Halloween. I'm talking about the Republicans! And the chance that scary George W. Bush can get back in office.
Election night coverage featuring Lynn Samuels from her living room on Sirius Left 143.
Are you an out-of-control parent? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. As a child, I can remember my dad letting me sit on his lap and steer our old station wagon on a long, deserted road. But he was always clearly in control. It was in the old days before we wore seatbelts. Well, during the early childhood years, a parent should be in control of their child, deciding when the child will sleep, what they will eat, what they will wear. But as their child grows towards adolescence, we need to steer away from being an in-control parent to being one that is out of control, letting go of the wheel, but still giving directions from the passenger seat. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find some great resources for strengthening your family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Listen to someone just like you enjoying the Sirius Satellite Radio experience right now.
Hi, my name is Amber, and I listen to Sirius from Columbia, Missouri. I love the channel options and all that Sirius has to offer. My husband and I got it a few months ago, and we couldn't be happier. So we encourage everyone to tell their friends about Sirius.
Hi, my name is Marita Trena. I'm from Rahway, New Jersey. I tell everyone about Sirius because here in New Jersey we have no country music station, and I love to listen to new country. I love your station. I love my Sirius.
Hi, this is Andrew from Long Island, New York. I just want to let you guys know I love Sirius. Have you on? I drive a taxi, and I have you on all the time, 12, 14 hours a day. This is just absolutely wonderful. Thanks for being there.
This is Dominique. I'd like to welcome my friend Chad Bohm to the Sirius family.
Get Sirius for your friends at Sirius.com and click on Get Sirius.
Learning water safety is just one way you can make your family and your community safer. Your local Red Cross also offers training in other life-saving skills like first aid, CPR, and AED. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. Sign up for a class today at your local American Red Cross chapter or visit redcross.org for more information.
Vote November 2nd. That's Tuesday. Man, I don't even think I chewed that sandwich. I literally just inhaled that sandwich. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. You're listening to Air America Radio.
Yes, you are.
This is Morning Sedition. Ray Ray came in earlier with the Palm Pilot wearing a Star David and his ear in a little suspended in plastic. It's in a little piece of his ear.
That's cute.
It's weird. Here's the nuts. That there it is. The presidential Palm Pilot. Here's your president's schedule for today: 7:30 a.m. Wake up. Stay on message. John Kerry is responsible for 100,000 deaths in Iraq. Note: call Carl. This message isn't going to work. 11:05 a.m. Speak at rally, Manchester, New Hampshire. Tell them how can I be responsible for so many mistakes when I haven't made any mistakes. 1 to 5 p.m., Speak at Rally, Portsmouth, Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Tell them, the video of our soldiers at Al-Qaqa was clearly faked. Come on, one of the Iraqis is wearing a Red Sox hat. 4:30 p.m., Speak at Rally, Toledo, Ohio. Note, ask someone in the crowd what I said in Dayton yesterday. Repeat that and then say, and that goes double today. 7:10 p.m., Speaker Rally, Columbus, Ohio. Tell them, here's what John Kerry said to one of his advisors. You know who makes the best Iraqi cannon fodder? People from Columbus, Ohio. Wait for booing. 9 p.m., back in Washington, fitting for Halloween costume. Sad clown again. 10 p.m., counter FBI investigation of Halliburton with Halliburton investigation of FBI. Expose one random undercover agent per week until they drop this thing. 10:30 p.m., bedtime, think happy thought. Here's what I get to do in 5 days. Drink. Never go to Ohio again. Tell Cheney to shove it. Drink. Scream at reporters. Pardon a bunch of my friends. Drink. So we just had the 10 reasons for today, which makes it 100 reasons why Bush should go. On the phone is a New York Times op-ed columnist. His column appears every Tuesday and Friday. He's a professor of economics and international affairs at Princeton University. His new book, The Great Unraveling, Losing Our Way in the New Century, is available at airamericaradio.com. Good morning, Paul Krugman. How are you?
Good morning. I'm okay.
Good morning.
Hey, you know, we've been given reasons to get rid of Bush all week, and we came up with 100. You know, we've been doing 10 a day, and I looked at your column today. You got a few of your own outside of the Al-Qaqa thing. You want to talk a little bit about those?
Sure. I mean, what I was trying to say in this morning's column, you know, the right is going crazy because they're starting to actually, for the first time, contemplate the possibility they're going to lose this thing. And so it's all, of course, the conspiracy, the New York Times coming up with this Al-Qaqa story and, you know, because everything else has been going great, right? So there are a few other things that actually probably would be getting some press play this week if it wasn't for Al-Qaqa.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest story that I don't understand why people aren't getting more about, you know, getting on more about it, is that the Wall Street Journal has confirmed what NBC reported about 8 months ago, which
yeah.
is that we had a chance to take out Zarqawi.
Like 3 times, right?
Yeah, and they didn't want to do it because, that some people told NBC this because, well, you know, we'd actually gotten Zarqawi and people had noticed that, he wasn't in that part of Iraq that Saddam controlled. People would have said, well, why exactly are we going to fight this war against Saddam? And so they didn't, and now he's out there killing people, including our own people.
You got any speculation? Now, I'm going to do a little conspiratorial thinking from the other side. Is there any, you know, this is me, Paul, it's my own head. Now, is there any way they could have let some of these arms get into the hands of the wrong people for similar reasons?
You know, it's...
He doesn't want to say does he?
The short answer is it doesn't. You know, the last thing you want to do is go off into something that might turn out to be wrong.
When you got so many facts.
It's totally verified that
right.
people strung up by their thumbs anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's not where you want to go.
Absolutely. You're right. Because there's so many facts that lead to the point that they didn't secure them. It was an incredible oversight. It was bungling. You want
yeah.
to talk a little bit about that?
And this whole thing, you know, I keep on thinking about all the things that they could have done that would have made the disaster less obvious by now. And they just went in too few soldiers. They didn't secure even the known sites. Actually, there's a little line here. Knight Ritter, I'm a big fan of Knight Ritter reporting and all this. Knight Ritter has a piece up this morning that says that aside from everything else, that not having enough troops to secure the sites, it also said that their choice of which sites to investigate was heavily influenced by the exiles.
Oh, that's a lobby.
Chalabi told us, "Don't go. Don't worry about that thing. Let's go look here."
Huh?
And so there we were. You know, Ahmad Chalabi is basically the Iranian agent has been dictating a whole lot of this stuff.
Unbelievable.
So, Paul, who dictated to Rudy Giuliani that he was supposed to say that it was the troops' fault? I mean, how did he manage to stray that far off the ranch?
You know, what it was, I don't know who said this. I saw this, somebody said this yesterday, that what was happening was just the true feelings coming out. That these people, for all the talk about the troops and how much they support the troops, basically they regard our soldiers as the kitchen help. And,
wow.
It just sort of burst out. You know, when something goes wrong, blame the servants.
So, and Giuliani served in what unit?
No, it was amazing. I mean, that's, you know, what's so amazing here is that under stress, a lot of, without them being able to stage manage everything, the truth comes out. What they're really like comes out. Now,
but does this mean that Bush can't attack Kerry for not supporting the troops anymore?
No. Part of the thing here is to, which is the reason why this election is not over, aside from fraud and voter intimidation and all that, is that if you're getting your news from Fox or CNN, which is barely distinguishable now, or the New York Post. I happen to have been looking at that a little bit because I've been on New Jersey Transit and people leave copies around. You're living in this alternative universe in which it's all, you know, the story about the explosives has been refuted, and John Kerry is this crazy left winger, and for 43% of the American public, none of this is getting through at all. They're just not hearing it.
Hey, the truth to that percentage is part of the conspiracy.
Well, yeah. I mean, as you probably mentioned on this show or some other, you know, Air American listeners know about the poll that said that about 73% of Bush supporters believe that we either have found weapons of mass destruction or an active WMD program in Iraq.
Well, you know, it's interesting. The most telling thing that I saw on CNN was they were interviewing potential voters, and there was a woman talking to the reporter, and she was saying she was voting for Bush, and one of the reasons she cited was because she knows that they have bin Laden and that they're going to reveal him right before the election. And that's supposed to be a bad thing.
Yeah. No, we wouldn't put it past. I mean, there's been a lot of, there was that supposed terrorist video that was shown last night.
I think that was Karl Rove.
Well, that's what people were saying. Apparently some of the right-wingers are even saying that it was so unconvincing that they've been calling it Queer Eye for the Terrorist Guy.
Paul, I have to ask you, even if you take the Bush-Cheney campaign statements at face value, and that those munitions were somehow looted at some point, or at least some of them, before the actual American invasion. How come this administration didn't know that if they had surveillance that they brought before the United Nations that purported to show the movement of weapons of mass destruction? Wouldn't it make sense that if they knew that there were weapons there and the IAEA told them that, that they would at least have been able to document the fact that these things were being moved?
You know, this is a bigger story here. I mean, actually, they did have it under surveillance, so they released a satellite photo of a truck pulled up in front of a bunker, which turns out to be the wrong bunker. So it's, the bigger thing here is, if you look at all of the actions after the invasion, they're not the actions of an administration that's really worried about WMD.
Right.
They did not move to secure sites. They did not go, you know, even known places. I mean, it's actually in some ways worse than, or, I don't know, there's so many, it's hard to rank these things, but, you know, the nuclear facility.
Right.
Shut down, but the Al-Tawaita, which was full of, not stuff that you could use to make an exploding nuclear bomb, but full of stuff you could use to make a dirty bomb.
Right.
Left unguarded and looted after the war. I mean, a few people said, long before I was willing to believe it, but just weeks after the fall of Baghdad, we're saying, you know, we don't believe that they must have known that there was nothing there because they didn't actually move to secure sites that might have contained WMD of any kind. And so the whole look of it was that they really weren't concerned, and I guess they also just believed. I mean, the other thing I think that we have to bear in mind is they just believed that they could install Chalabi, they could install their crony, and everything would be fine. And they thought they could run Iraq the way they run Texas.
But Paul, I mean, it sounds as though you're saying that the United States had very little regard for the reason we were told we were going there in the first place.
Oh yeah, I mean it's you know, that pops out occasionally. The Wolf was saying this was just a bureaucratic reason. This was not. I don't think there was a single motive for the war. I think there were a few of them, but WMD was not part of the story.
Yeah. Have you heard anything about this interview with this Mickey Herskowitz?
Yes, I have, and it's. I think that's part of it. I mean, that actually makes me a little more confident now in saying that what a lot of us have speculated that this part of it was really, I call it wag the dog. I mean, it's except that the Herskovitz statement is really saying more that it's in that vein, but more of an upbeat version of Wag the Dog.
Well, we'll go into it.
They'll fight an easy war.
Right. Let's talk about it when we come back, Paul. We're going to be back in a second with some callers and Paul Krugman. 866-303-2270 is the number. We'll get into that and some other topics with him. Okay, Riley?
Absolutely.
All right, we'll talk to you in a second. Your 2 cents, give us a call at 866-303-2270 and give us your best shot.
45 million Americans are uninsured, and those with insurance continue to face skyrocketing costs and less coverage. Stop being deprived of the coverage you need and get the advantage, MedAdvantage. MedAdvantage has been lowering healthcare costs for the insured and uninsured since 1995. Don't let rising prescription and healthcare costs take advantage of you. Get MedAdvantage instead. You can save hundreds of dollars per year with this simple and easy-to-use program. Membership is just $99 per year and will cover your entire family. There are no forms to fill out and no waiting for reimbursement. Call MedAdvantage at 888-595-4217 and start saving now. Membership is available to everyone regardless of age or medical condition. In fact, we're so confident you'll be pleased with the MedAdvantage program, we're offering a full 100% money-back guarantee. Call MedAdvantage at 888-595-4217 and start saving now. Once again, call 888-595-4217. MedAdvantage, reducing the personal cost of healthcare.
MedAdvantage is not an insurance plan.
On Sirius, we strive to bring you the best that the sports world has to offer.
Warm beer, high-priced tickets, and stale popcorn?
I don't think so.
Now on Saturdays, it's College Football Day, beginning with the kickoff show at 5 a.m. Sirius College Coaches Show at 9. A doubleheader of exciting game day action. And then we finish it with the ultimate post-game show, The Wrap-Up, hosted by Jerry Recco. From dawn to dusk, Saturday is College Sports Radio Day on Sirius Sports Action 123.
Hello, everybody. I'm Tony Cantillo, your fresh grocer. Today's tip of the day is going to be our winter broccoli flower into the market. Okay, go to the store. You want to make a vegetable side dish. Broccoli? Cauliflower? Never made up your mind? That's why some growers invented broccoli flower. They hybrided a whole bunch of vegetables together, the broccoli and the cauliflower in particular, and they came up with broccoli flower. A few years ago, not a lot of people bought it because they thought that it was broccoli going bad or cauliflower going bad. But broccoli flour is fantastic for you and loaded with flavor. When you buy, you want to make sure that it's nice and green all the way around. The leaves should be green and around the outside of the broccoli flour. And you want to make sure where it's been cut, it's nice and clear. Now, a lot of times it's sold in cellophane around it, which is very important. But when you bring it home, what's more important is take that cellophane out and then put it in the refrigerator. And I'm Tony Cantillo, your fresh grocer. For more recipes and tips, go to TonyCantillo.com. Hello, I'm Tony Cantillo. You know, sometimes information on nutrition and health can seem overwhelming. That's why there's the Dole Nutrition News. Twice a month, this electronic newsletter will bring you the very latest in diet and nutrition research, plus recipes, fitness tips, and natural beauty ideas. Best of all, it's absolutely free. How to get all this information? Simply just go to www.dolenutrition.com to sign up. It's free, it's easy, and it's loaded with news that you can use to lose weight and look great. Again, that's www.dolenutrition.com.
Hey, this is G-Lo, and there's one place in this country where you have all the power. One place where your voice counts, where you can make things change or make a difference. See, it's the voting booth. And it only takes a few minutes to register to vote. So what's your excuse? Get all the information you need at theheadcount.org. Yeah. Your vote counts. We're serious. Check, check, check it out.
Speak out on Sirius.
Get serious about your vote.
Hi, this is Dixie Counts from St. Louis. I'm calling to say push for Bush. Friends don't let friends vote Democratic.
Hi, this is Brenda from Indianapolis, and I'm calling because this is the most important election of my lifetime. I'd like for everyone to get out and vote and support Kerry so that we can return to the principles of this country. Thank you.
Hello, America. This is Jeff
and Oklahoma City. The importance of this election cannot be underestimated. One candidate knows it's better to fight our nation's enemies on their turf, to have core principles that don't change with opinion polls. This candidate and the man I'm voting for is President George Bush.
Tell us why this presidential election is important to you.
Call 1-877-33-SIRIUS and press 4.
To speak out on Sirius. If you're over 35, your bones and joints aren't what they used to be, and exercising only on weekends puts them at great risk of injury. The good news is you can reduce that risk by exercising at least 30 minutes every day. Always stretch and warm up for several minutes before any exercising session, and wear appropriate shoes and safety gear. Brought to you by the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons.
Feels good to be a gangster.
Yes, it does. It's 34 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. You're listening to the Morning Sedition. We'll be back with Paul Krugman in just a second. We're lining up your calls as we speak. But since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 123. Leaders of Iraq. Hello. Good morning. So I saw a new poll that says more Iraqis favor John Kerry than President Bush. Yes, I expected that, but here's the part that disturbs me. 58% of you said you don't care who wins the U.S. presidential election. All right. Now, I understand you haven't had much experience participating in these things, and the candidates haven't exactly spent a lot of time over there, though if Bush thought there were even one electoral vote to be had in Fallujah, he'd be there, I promise you. That's right. But just because you haven't met them and you have no power doesn't mean you shouldn't care. This is like not caring who your parents are. You have no say in that either. But this is just as important, because if you don't care, maybe we don't care, and that's a much bigger deal. Don't have clean water? Hey, we don't care. Winter coming, you have no electricity? We don't care. Care. Terrorists keep blowing up the oil pipeline. We don't... Well, wait a minute. We care about that one. Well, you see my point. We're together now. We're family. We have to care about each other and, just make an effort. We're not asking for the moon. Instead of 58% not caring, this president, get it down to where it is here at 52%. Thanks for the love. Right, so good luck. God bless. This is day 123 of Iraq, Birth of a Nation. Live free or die. Sorry I made you sit through that, Paul, but I thought you might want to.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah. So listen, Paul, now we were talking about Mickey Herskovitz's piece, the Russell Baker piece. Russell Baker, I might want to remind our listeners, is going to be on to talk about this, shortly after the next break. But he was the ghostwriter for what's it called, a Pride to Keep? A Charge to Keep.
Yes.
And he was replaced, and now he basically is revealing that in his interviews with Bush, Bush basically said that the only agenda he might have had with Iraq was to just invade a small country that would make him look like a commander-in-chief so he could do whatever he wanted as president.
Yeah, the story I've heard from trying to put it together is that there were really two motives behind the war. One was the neocon agenda. They really wanted the series of wars, and Iraq was supposed to be a demonstration project,
free market concept. Utopia.
Yeah, sort of show how easy it was.
Right.
And the other was politics. That it was, this way the Bush can be a war hero and great stuff politically. Both of which people say, how can you be so cynical? But both of which are more and more being confirmed by what's coming out. And so now we see, and it's what can you say? It's incredible malfeasance.
Yeah, it's even worse than we thought.
Yeah, although the truth is that people were telling me this. Now I don't do insider reporting. I just this is by the by. But it's people were telling me that they really had reason to believe that it was about looking for a way to build up. A nice little military victory to build Bush up a long time ago. So I've been thinking this for quite a while, but here we are.
Yeah. Let's take a call, Paul. John in Miami. How are you, John?
Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing today?
All right.
What's up?
Yeah, hey, I used to work for Halliburton. Actually, Kellogg Brown and Root in Iraq.
Uh-huh.
And I got a first-hand experience of how big liars those Halliburton recruiters are.
Right, so some of those contracts, they were no bid contracts, huh? And they were ripping the people off, huh?
Well, actually, one of them was that possible that one KDR guy tried to get was pretty much like an extortion type contract where I was talking to this Army guy after I decided, you know, me and Halliburton KDR decided we're gonna, you know, part company. I talked to this one chief warrant officer in charge of helicopter flight operations in Iraq during breakfast and said, I'm not working for his company anymore. I'm waiting, you know, to catch flight home. And he told me that he approached a KVR employee and said, I needed a building for my helicopter, you know, Army flight operations. And the KVR employee says, well, you give me the contract, the Army contract, to do the building for those 100 soldiers per day that are going through your operations. I'll make sure you get that building.
Right.
And all he was going to do was just do paperwork to put the guys in Army housing, which is where they're going anyway. So he wasn't getting anything. He wasn't giving nothing for his service other than doing his job, just extorting something from the guy. Because it's really hard to get supplies into Iraq, you know, because the convoys are getting hit every day. And they got, you know, I mean, they got to bring buildings, you know, either they fly parts to there, take a ship, and then they take a ship over, and then they bring it by, you know, truck.
Right.
You know.
John, you know, it sounds like, and maybe Paul can speak to this, it sounds like you're describing a deal between the mob and some union-based construction company over here in New York. What's going on here?
Well, what are you doing now, real quickly, John?
Actually, right now, I'm working for the Kerry campaign.
Right on, brother. All right, thanks for calling, buddy.
All right, thanks, John.
So Paul, can you address this? Because, you know, the FBI is now, there are criminal charges, basically, now.
Yeah, which is, look, I mean, the basic rule is it's all true. Right. I mean, the Halliburton stuff, it's, and again, oh, you know, that's just politicking, but it's all true. The inside influence, really bad stuff, cronyism. By the way, the reason why the next 2 days are going to be even uglier than you can possibly imagine is because if they lose the White House, then it all starts coming out.
Yes.
And this is why it's so much is at stake here. It's if they lose, then it's not just, oh, well, they'll be, you know, the Republicans will be back again, because now all the scandals, the press scandals, will come out, and Halliburton is just one of about 12 really bad things that we all really know what happened, but haven't been able to prove it, and now we will if Kerry wins.
You mean it's going to be uglier than we think it's going to be?
Yeah.
Whoa.
No. I mean,
and I think ugly.
Yeah, I think there's going to be major disruptions at the polls. There's going to be, and whatever happens, they're going to fight it in court.
It's going to be hairy. We got a call for you, specifically, Paul, a question from Frank on his way to Milwaukee. Frank, how are you?
Hey, Frank.
Oh, hey, how are you guys doing?
Okay.
Hey, I'm in my car. I just arrived in Milwaukee I live in northern Illinois now. I'm going to be up here for the next 5 days. I got cases of Red Bull, Frappuccino, all sorts of snacks, power bars. I'm going to be working out at a Southside office close to my old neighborhood where I grew up.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you, I got a good feeling about this. I'm very confident we're going to win long as things are reasonably fair voting-wise.
Oh, reasonably fair. You have a question for Paul?
Yeah, Paul, what do we do November 3rd? President-elect Kerry. I mean, what do we do to help restore liberalism to its rightful place in our country?
That's a good
question.
That's
a great question. Thanks, Frank.
Yeah, okay. Somebody said that the whole smearing thing is going to happen. They're going to try and do what they did to Clinton only many times over, and this whole point is this: if people relax and say, okay, we won the election, now we can all relax, the times are back. They're still out there. So the pressure has to be kept on. The pressure on the media has to be kept on. The pressure on finding out, you know, what Tom DeLay's really been up to. It's just, this is going to be a long-term thing. I mean, Kerry will have one huge advantage, which is he'll be able to take the lid off the information that they've been suppressing. But he's almost certainly going to face a hostile House and probably going to face a hostile Senate, and the whole right-wing smear machine, the media, are all going to be out there. So,
but does he have a little hope in the Senate? I mean, you know, these guys, a lot of them are secretly wanting to get out from under Bush, and he does have some success in bipartisanship in the Senate. These guys he's been working with for years.
Well, there's not many of them left, and there's tremendous, you know, there's a machine out there that basically says to these guys, you don't toe the line. You think that when you're going to retire from the Senate, you're going to get on corporate boards, you're going to get speaking engagements.
Right.
Not if you aren't 100% loyal. So, you know, if what you've watched is that the so-called moderate senators, moderate Republicans, every time they cave to the hard right on substance. They occasionally talk differently, but in the end they cave. So it's going to be, I mean, it's Kerry wins. It's going to be a big setback for the right, but it's going to be just a battle in an ongoing war.
Hey, Paul, you want to hear ugly. What happens if Kerry's declared the one error and Bush refuses to concede?
Well, that's almost certainly what's going to, not almost certainly, it's highly likely, that unless there's a real landslide, that this thing is going to be in the courts for many, many, many weeks.
Oh, my God.
Not again.
No, this is high likelihood. As of this morning, I think Mike Kerry might win it by a big enough margin that doesn't happen. But otherwise, just, you know, people are saying it's not an October surprise, it's a November surprise. It's going to be, they're going to keep on. And, yeah, it's, I'm not clear on exactly how this works, but I think there's a possibility that Dennis Hastert may be acting president. The thing is still going on.
Oh, the wrestling coach? No,
not that.
All right, Paul, you know, thanks a lot. You know, I'm frightened, but it was great talking to you.
Okay, take care.
All right, take care, Paul.
Paul Krugman. His book is called The Great Unraveling, Losing Our Way in the New Century. You can get that at AirAmericaRadio.com. We're going to come back with Russ Baker, who was the guy that did the piece for Guerrilla News Network on Mickey Herskowitz, the former ghostwriter for George W. Bush's planned autobiography. That should be very compelling. We'll talk to you in a second on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm Tim Robbins. It's time to wake up with Mornings Edition on Air America Radio.
We're fighting for our lives here!
Hi, this is Al Franken, the host of the Al Franken Show on Air America Radio. For the last 6 months, we've been doing 3 hours a day of cutting-edge radio programming. We've had guests like Bill Clinton, John Kerry, and Strom Thurmond.
You pecker! It knows no bigotry.
We've covered events like the handover of power in Iraq. We've explained difficult concepts like the growing national debt using nothing more than an ordinary slide whistle. Now we're presenting our show in a convenient, easy-to-use, one-hour version every night on Sundance Channel. Finally, you'll be able to see what we're talking about. Right, Strom?
That's right. Yippee! How do y'all see?
Tune in every night at 11:30 on Sundance Channel for the Al Franken Show. If you don't get Sundance Channel, go to their website, sundancechannel.com. Al and Sundance Channel. Together again.
Hi, this is Al Franken, and I care about who's elected president on November 2nd. And it's never been more important who we choose for the future of America. So listen up. Right now, the polls in the Buckeye State show a deadlock, and the fact of the matter is, it's all going to come down to the ground game and who wants it more. You know, Paul Wellstone used to say that the future belongs to those who are passionate and work hard. Well, the future is in your hands, and I'm asking you to be passionate and work hard by contributing your time and money to the Ohio Democratic Party. Go to ohiodems.org. Ohiodems.org. That's not hard to remember, is it? Ohiodems.org. You know, sometimes we tell ourselves to save money for a rainy day. This is it. This is that rainy day. We can't let these people take this country in the wrong direction for 4 more years. Do yourself, your children, your country a favor. Volunteer or write a check by going to ohiodems.org.
This ad is paid for by the Ohio Democratic Party, Dennis White Chair.
You can take a ghoulish ride with the ghosts of Halloween past each night this week on Sirius Radio Classics. Horror shows from the Fright Masters, Bela Lugosi, Boris Karloff, Vincent Price, and on Halloween Eve, it's Orson Welles' War of the Worlds. The classic War of the Worlds, Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern. Plus the Masters of Horror each weeknight on a special Fright Fest. All this week on Sirius Radio Classics 133.
Is your child included in your activities? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. In our world today, it seems like we often segregate children from our daily living. We separate the kids from the adults at events we attend, in sports we play, at church, and at work. If we really want our children to learn from us, then it is absolutely necessary that they see us in our regular routine. We need to keep them joined at the hip. Let's teach our children life's lessons by including them when we do housework, yard work, run errands,
and even at work when possible. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet.
Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far.
So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes.
That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed.
Yeah, well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose.
Big deal. My dad can eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite.
Get out.
Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can crush a soda can with his head.
No way!
I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him through the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
Here's a safety tip we can all live with. Children should ride in the rear seat whenever possible and should always be buckled up, especially if your car has airbags. Remember, never place a rear-facing child's safety seat in the passenger seat if you have an airbag. Patterns set early become patterns for life. Set them early. It's a safety tip we can all live with. Brought to you by the National Safety Belt Coalition.
Coming in for landing here at 50 past the hour. I'll be at Cobb's Comedy Club tonight and tomorrow. Two shows each night. CobbsComedyClub.com in San Francisco. Big stand-up for your rights shows with Durst, Kevin Rooney, David Feldman, Jim Short. It's going to be good. What else we got going on? Right now on the phone, we talked about an article yesterday about Mickey Herskowitz, who was the first ghostwriter who was fired from the Charge to Keep, the Bush biography. And we have Russ Baker on the phone, who's an independent journalist who wrote a piece on Mickey Herskowitz. And in the piece, you know, you have Mickey Herskowitz, who had, you know, 20 hours of conversation with Bush. Bush basically stated that, you know, he might have went into Iraq just for political reasons, and that leaders never admit to a mistake. And I want to talk to Russ about how this interview took place. And because Russ, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, this Mickey Herskowitz, he's not like an anti-Bush guy. He's a family friend in some respects.
I've been Mickey Herskowitz is a guy who has written many, many, many books. They're what you call as told to books. They're essentially collaborative autobiographies of famous people, and he's doing it a long time. And he's kind of a fixture there in Houston.
Right. Okay. So he's been in Houston, and he also wrote the biography of the Bush grandfather, Prescott, on behalf of George H. Bush, right?
Right.
H.W. Now, what did he say exactly to you in terms of what George W. Bush's motivations for invading Iraq were?
He said that these conversations took place between him and Bush in 1999 when Bush was a candidate for president. And he said that Bush had basically said to him that, and I can read you the quote, he was thinking about invading Iraq in 1999. He said to me, one of the keys to being seen as a great leader is to be seen as a commander-in-chief. And he said, my father had all this political capital built up when he drove the Iraqis out of Kuwait, and he wasted it. He said, if I have a chance to invade, if I had that much capital, I'm not going to waste it. I'm going to get everything passed that I want to get passed, and I'm going to have a successful presidency.
Well, that's interesting. That is not the voice of a puppet. That's the voice of a very selfish, ambitious, you know, non-empathetic, politically savvy monster, yes?
Sounds like it to me.
You know, Russell, in looking at the piece that you wrote about Mickey Herskowitz, what struck me was that he apparently developed a friendship with George H.W. Bush when he had the then congressman fill in doing a sports column. Is that how that started?
Yeah, he's known the family for decades. And He's a longtime sports columnist on a major newspaper there in Houston, and so he's known them in that context. Of course, they're big sports fans, and he's known them throughout. And Mickey Herskovitz is not a political figure. He's a guy who he did Governor John Connolly's book, he did Mickey Mantle's book, he did Dan Rather's book. He's done all kinds of different books, and basically what he does, he sits down and people tell him what they're thinking, and then he puts it in a book.
Now, why do you think he talked to you?
Well, first of all, I would just want to make clear, I had a tape recorder visible and present at all times, and he told me what he told me. I think he means well. I think that he's frustrated at the incredible, if you want to say, constant and ongoing makeover of the president, of the lack of understanding that at least half the American people seem to have about who really is in charge and what really is going on. And I think he wanted to get that off his chest, and I respect him for that.
And that's really why the reason he was taken off the job was he was unwilling to propagandize.
Well, I don't want to characterize that because I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, my sense was that when you do those kind of books, you're already pretty much providing stuff that's acceptable to the other person. But I think the issue here was that George W. himself was letting down his guard a bit and actually being candid about a few things. But his handlers didn't like it because they didn't reflect very well on him.
And who wrote the book, ultimately?
The book was written by Karen Hughes, who's Bush's very powerful communications director.
Mm-hmm. We're familiar with her.
I'm fascinated by Mickey Herskovitz's writing about Bush as a failed businessman, as a businessman that, in other words, that he wasn't even satisfied with his business acumen.
Right. I mean, the way Mickey explained it to me was that Bush had said to him that his oil companies were floundering. And, of course, floundering is not that horrible a word. But anyway, he put that in one of the many chapters that he turned in, and he says that he got an angry call from Bush staff, campaign staff people who said, we do not consider him to have been floundering. We consider him to have been a successful businessman who started several new companies.
So he didn't speak spin properly.
Right.
So now let me ask you, how come this story doesn't have bigger legs nationally? Why is it on GorillaNews.com and on your website, which is RussBaker.com? How come it seems like, we talked to Frank Lautenberg about it yesterday, and he was chomping at the bit, and we bring it up, and our web, our bloggers and our emails are fascinated with this. How come it doesn't have a bigger momentum?
The media is paralyzed. I have been a journalist for 20 years. I've won lots of awards. I've written for almost every major publication in this country and around the world.
Mm-hmm.
My credentials are rock solid. I've got tapes of this man saying these things. They're all scared. The media in this country, despite books talking about the fallacy of a liberal media, they are so worried all the time. They will gladly put this phony American terrorist, I guess you've heard about that. That's getting a huge amount of attention. That is a phony, transparent Karl Rove ruse.
I think it is Karl Rove.
It's probably him himself. And yet the major news organizations are tripping over each other to put that thing on the air to show that they are not softies.
Yes. Well, that's a good point. It's a frightening point. I want to send people to your site. Thanks for joining us, Russ Baker. Really appreciate it.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Russ.
www.russbaker.com and also www.gorillanews.com for that story and also for many more, I'm assuming, of Russ's stories. Now, before we go on this Friday, again, I want to plug myself. I'll be at Cobbs tonight, CobbsComedyClub.com. If you're in San Francisco, come on down. I think it'll be fun. Say hello. Say fire truck.
Yeah.
As some are warranted to, willing, winded,
the word you're looking
for. Wow. Riley just like, that was a moment, man. Riley just is like, are you going to stumble again? Want is the word. Okay, amateur radio guy?
No. And by the way, that's not W-A-N-T, that's W-O-N-T.
Yes.
I read the Bible, that's how I know these.
Well, now I know, too, and I read the Bible occasionally. only in moments of deep doubt. So let's get some information out to people. People are asking us, how can we get involved? Well, first of all, today's the last day you can give money to DNC. So do that. And also, you can go to votercall.org. to figure out you can get involved like that. That's calling registered voters and telling them to get off their butts. So that's one way. If you see any shenanigans, 866-OUR-VOTE, call them. And if you want to make sure you're registered, 866-MY-VOTE-1. And you can go to morningsedition.com for all of this stuff. Have a great weekend. There's the Liberal Agenda again. And no one's on the phone. Here we go. Here's the Liberal Agenda from the Streisand compound. Write these down. One, Halloween Agenda. Give trick-or-treaters cruelty-free snacks and a lecture on the importance of voting. Two, dress your children up as conscientious objectors. Three, put flashlight under chin and tell kids scary story about Bush's second term and his Supreme Court nominees. Four, carve friendly jack-o'-lantern in the shape of Hans Blix. And five, today's phrase, drop it in the conversation. You know, the kid who made your Spider-Man outfit is also wearing a costume today. He's dressed as a malnourished little boy in a sweatshop, man. Enjoy your candy, kid.
It's the election next week, baby. It's that time we've all been waiting for.
I'm scared. I'm creeped out. I can't deal with it. I'm anxious.
Well, we're going to talk some final numbers, and we're going to make sure that each and every listener and each and every voter gets tips about ensuring your sanctity, the sanctity of your vote. That's Monday's Morning Edition here on Air America Radio. Bye, Marin.
Bye, Riley.